Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, August 13th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police have made an arrest following a deadly hit-and-run incident in Bensalem, Bucks County. 21-year-old Richard McClausland was arrested Monday afternoon and will be charged with fatally striking a pedestrian, then leaving the scene. McClausland was found at his mother's home. Police say the car he was driving, a green Kia Soul, was his mother's company car. The Kia Soul, with front-end damage, was parked along Edgewood Avenue in Bensalem. The vehicle matches the description of the car that fatally struck a man and kept going, leaving pieces of green plastic in the road, investigators say.
There was a ton of that front, I guess, right part of the car torn off. I mean, he must have hit him really hard.
Really hard, yeah. They said when they found the body, the shoes were like across the street.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Officials think the deadly crash happened at about 2:30 in the morning on Monday. Police say a neighbor who was out for a walk earlier discovered the body of 38-year-old Timothy McGuire on Humeville Road and King Avenue. And as you can imagine, the family is saying if he would have just pulled over, who knows, he could have still been alive.
More than likely is what they're saying. Yeah.
Police believe McGuire, who lives only a few blocks away, was hit while walking along Humeville Road, but his body was not discovered until 6 a.m. off of the roadway between the bushes. By Monday afternoon, police announced the discovery of the suspect vehicle, crediting the media and public for tips that led to the discovery of that vehicle.
There are some areas around when you drive around and you'll see there's no raised sidewalk. There's no anything. You can drive off the road onto people's lawns, and particularly in this area, straight on through.
Yeah, I'm familiar with this road. I don't know exactly where it was on Humeville Road, but you're exactly right. There are parts of it where it's
right,
just you're
flat.
You're kind of walking either on like someone's lawn or the roadway. And unfortunately, this guy was hit. It's very sad. And this story, I don't even know why I put it in news. Like, it's so disturbing. But the 34-year-old mother, who's now behind bars after police say she attacked her 3-year-old child with a machete on Sunday night. Police were called to the 5900 block of Masher Street in Philadelphia's Olney section just before 8 o'clock for reports of someone screaming. That's when they found a 3-year-old child suffering at least 6 stab wounds to her head, shoulder, and knee. One cut was so deep that the neighbor said that there was little she could do, and you could see the child's skull. The girl had suffered skull fractures as well. She sustained some serious trauma, sadly, at the hands of her mother, the very individual that's supposed to be here to protect her, Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Ross said. A nurse who lives nearby applied pressure while she waited for police. Despite the blood loss, the girl remained conscious. Police didn't wait for the ambulance. They immediately rushed the child to Einstein Medical Center. She was later transferred to St. Christopher's Hospital for Children. Witnesses said the mom appeared incoherent and was naked at the top of the steps. A neighbor told 6ABC all the girl kept saying was, "My mommy tried to cut my hair." Police are awaiting toxicology results on the mother. Ross said that the woman has no prior arrest history. Neighbors said it is the second time that police were called to the house in recent days. They said the last time police retrieved weapons from the home, including machetes, from another member of the household who assaulted someone. Protesters clogged the departure area at Hong Kong's reopened airport Tuesday, a day after they forced one of the world's busiest transport hubs to shut down entirely in the middle of calls for an independent inquiry into alleged police abuse. Thousands of protesters occupied the airport's main terminal for the fifth consecutive day. After filling up two separate arrival halls, demonstrators have streamed into the departure area despite increased security measures designed to keep them out. Passengers struggled to get past the sitting protesters and into the immigration section. Some flights were able to take off early Tuesday, relieving some of the pressure from Monday's cancellation of more than 200 flights. The central government in Beijing characterized the protest movement as something approaching terrorism that posed as an existential threat to the local citizenry. Meanwhile, paramilitary police were assembling across the border for exercises in what some saw as a threat to increase force brought against the mostly young protesters who have turned out in the thousands over the past 10 weeks. Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam says that the ongoing instability, chaos, and violence has placed the city on a path of no return. The demonstrators have shown no sign of letting up on their campaign to force Lam's administration to respond to their demands, including that she step down and entirely scrap legislation that could have seen criminal suspects sent to mainland China to face torture and unfair or politically charged trials.
I've always wanted to go to Hong Kong, and I think now would be a perfect
time.
It just seems to be just the perfect time.
Have you seen the pictures? Well, there's one up here now, but it is insane. All these protesters, terrible.
Oddly enough, Kathy, they don't want to be sent to China if they commit a crime to mainland China, because you know the torture thing is really a downer for most people.
All right, let's do sports this morning. The Phillies return home tonight as they open up a 3-game series against the Chicago Cubs. Jose Quintana will get the start for the Cubs, while Jason Vargas will pitch for the Phillies. Game time is at 7:05. The Sixers and the NBA released their schedules for the upcoming season yesterday. The Sixers play 6 games on ABC this season, tied with the LA Lakers for the most in the NBA. Kind of. Overall, the Sixers have 24 games on national TV, including those on ABC, ESPN, and TNT. They'll be home on Monday, December 2nd, with a game against the Utah Jazz, and that's the night of the Camp Out for Hunger. So hopefully we'll be able to get some tickets, get some things where we can send some of our fans.
Or be ignored. It's quite possible.
Ooh, yeah. No,
wait
hopefully
a second.
Not.
There's a novel
so
idea.
I am putting it out there. And one night after becoming the first person ever to land a double-double dismount at the U.S. Gymnastics Championship, Simone Biles continued to make more history. She became the first woman to land a triple-double with 2 flips and 3 twists in competition on the floor during her routine. Biles won her 6th U.S. Championship with 4.95 points. She is only the 2nd woman in history to accomplish the feat, and it's Biles' 20th consecutive all-around win dating back to 2013. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Wow, lots of stuff. Thank you very much, Kathy. Appreciate it. Welcome to a Tuesday morning. You know, what's good about us having the day off yesterday is that your word of the week prize is going to be that much easier to win. It's only going to be 4 letters. We have an indoor-outdoor folding tournament ping pong table by Corneo. That's it. Corneo, including a cover and an outdoor playing set courtesy of Royal Billiards and Recreation.
I have one of these.
I was just about to say that very thing. Nice job, Steve.
Yes.
You've been playing?
I love it.
Yeah.
And this sucker is, like, completely weather resistant. There's nothing on it that can be screwed up by the weather.
Yep. It's for outside.
They're awesome.
So we will give that away on Friday. Get your first letter starting at the end of the program today, and then we'll add them up, and we'll have a 4-letter word by the time we get to Friday. Today is Tuesday. That also means that we have Tattoos Day taking place. World-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. A chance for you to win a tattoo from them, and just text word tattoo to 39333, and later on we'll pick a random caller, or texter, I'm sorry, it might be you, and you go to the shop and you get your Preston and Steve tattoo. So hopefully you will do that during the course of the day. Our friends Dietz and Watson are stopping by today, and
can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you just go through the list of things that are wrong with you today? I just to put this in perspective, and then make the cherry on top what you encountered on the way to work.
All right, so okay. I've had pink eye.
Pink
for the
eye.
Past several days. That started on Friday.
Right.
I have even worse than that. That's just an annoyance.
Yeah.
As you can hear nasally, I have a sinus infection.
Right.
That just sucks.
Which causes your eyes, by the way, to water.
Yeah. Yeah, I was up half the night because I had all the sinus pressure and all this stuff.
So yeah.
And then on the way to work this morning, I got a flat tire.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, man. Were you lucky enough to get it on the highway?
Yeah, but I have run flat tires.
Okay. Oh.
So I was able to pull over somewhere in Plymouth Meeting and change the tire this morning.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so I did that. And
you should have called me. I would have come to help.
Would you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You could have rested the car down on Kathy while you were changing the tire.
I could have sat in the car and changed the radio station for you.
Yeah. and in fact, on our little letter board that we have where you can write stuff, I put the words, of course, for me to look at. And that's kind of my mantra the past few days. Of course, I have pink eye. Of course, I have sinus infection, and of course I got a flat tire on the way into work morning. So it's just this, we had an extended weekend and it sucked for me personally. It was just terrible. The weather was gorgeous. Just what a beautiful weekend.
Loved it.
Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you guys had a good time.
Well, a similar,
I felt lousy the entire time. But
similar
whatever.
Weekend in the works, right? Possibly for this weekend coming up.
Yeah, it's looking good. So, all right. Well, good. Except for Saturday, it says isolated thunderstorms. But good. Dude, I'm holding on to hope that we'll have a wonderful day on Thursday for the Belly Flop Championship.
Everything looks decent.
Yeah, at Valley Forge Casino Resort. So we're headed back there. This is the rain date, and yeah, we're all set to go. Everybody's there. Everybody is signed up and ready to go. We'll all be there. The whole thing. Don't worry. You're not gonna get sick from being around me. It's okay. As long as I wash my hands, the pink eye is okay. That's the only way you guys could get it is if I touch my eyes and I touch something else and you were to touch that too.
All right.
So we're good.
We're good.
By the way, farting on your pillow, never heard of that in my entire life.
I posted
it on Instagram. Never heard that one before.
We have to discuss this.
And then, but listen. With all this crap going on with me, I want to make sure that you have a great morning, and we certainly will do that for especially one person. We're going to give away $1,000 this morning.
This is so cool.
Yes. Avengers Endgame. Not only are we giving away $1,000, but we also have your chance to win this really cool thing. It's called the Limited Edition Avengers Assembled Steelbook.
What?
Along with all four Avengers films on digital 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and Blu-ray. It's all available on that. And a $1,000 Best Buy gift card. So it's not $1,000 in cash, but it's $1,000 that you can spend at Best Buy. And by the way, the Avengers Endgame Steelbook is, hold on, I'm looking at this insanely overdone copy here. Sold only at Best Buy stores and on BestBuy.com. So, how are we going to do this? Casey has set up an emoji code this morning for you to decipher. All right, so here is what you do. Now, we have it posted only on our website, right? On PrestonandSteve.com.
Yes.
That's how we're doing it this morning. So you need to go to PrestonandSteve.com, take a look at the emoji code, decipher it. And I'm sorry I didn't get to talk to any of you before the show started this morning. Are we taking a caller later on today? We'll take a caller later on. Whoever identifies it properly and is the designated caller to do so is going to win the book, the movies, and the $1,000 Best Buy gift card.
It's a hell of a prize.
Most definitely. So make sure you take a look. We'll give you a good portion of the morning to head over there, do some digging, figure out what it is, and then hang close to the radio because we will give you an opportunity. We'll tell you when to call in to win that. So I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So that's one positive thing that's happened so far this morning.
Did you watch the movie over the weekend?
I did not.
All right.
No.
In fact, you couldn't open your eyes, so why would you try?
Yeah, it was difficult. No, I never got around to it. You know what? Weirdly, I want to have a clear head when I watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm sick. I'm not normal right now, so I want to wait, and then I'll watch it.
You want to be in the right frame of mind. I got it.
Absolutely. All right, so let's take a break. Let's come back in a moment, and let's talk about those oh-so-fun celebrities.
Oh, they're so kooky.
And a stupid question, so we'll get to it all. I hope you have a lovely morning on the way in this morning. I still love that word, pip. So we'll come back in a second with all that. Hang here, gang. We'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thank you, Kath. So for the stupid question, we got a pair of tickets for Keystone Comic-Con, which is going to be August 23rd through the 25th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And so, and by the way, you know, on the August 25th, you'll be able to see Tom Holland. He will be there. That's the big name. That's pretty awesome. So, stupid question this morning. Pet rats got a major boost in popularity following the release of what movie in 2007? There was a 50% sales increase of
pet rats. Pet rats.
After this movie came out. That is correct. 215-263-WMMR. So Pet Rats got a boost in popularity following the release of what movie in 2007? Let's see if you know the answer. Call right now. I will mention some birthdays while we are awaiting your answer. Today is Tuesday, August 13th. We have actor John Slattery. He has been in a couple of the Avengers movies. He had played the older Howard Stark.
Yes.
He was 50. He's 57 years old today, but you saw him in two movies, in Ant-Man and in Civil War. So he appeared in those two. So you see him as the Howard Stark that gets when he gets killed.
Does he? Who's in Endgame?
He's in Endgame too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Nice. So he is 57 today.
He's also in Mad Men.
Actress Debbie Mazur.
Always liked her.
55. Yeah. She always had kind of a cool little attitude.
Do you know what she looks kind of bizarrely sexy is when she's the coked up whore in Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
No, I agree. She kind of looks bizarrely sexy.
Yeah.
He has to go over and help her cut everything.
Right. Yeah.
That day of paranoia, and he's making the gravy and one thing after, and the helicopter's flying him, following him around.
And the babysitter who's just annoying as all hell.
God, I hate her so much.
So, 55 years old today. Going back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it is Sebastian Stan's birthday today.
Man, did I geek out when he showed up.
Bucky and the Winter Soldier. Yeah, he was really... He came here in the studio when they were promoting the movie The Martian, which he's really good in as well.
I wore my Captain America shirt, Preston.
Did you?
Oh, and he made a comment.
Oh, my God. Yeah, nice guy. Kind of a quiet guy.
Yeah.
But he's great as Bucky and the Winter Soldier.
He's now in the new series.
Yeah, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
He is 36 years old today. Our old buddy Danny Bonaducci. Danny turns 60 today.
Always like Danny.
Grew up in the Partridge Family and then made his way into radio and was here in Philadelphia on a couple of occasions on the radio. And we always got along with Danny just fine.
I think he's in Seattle now?
I think you may be correct about that. Yeah. So.
Yes. Since 2011, he's been hosting at KZOK in Seattle.
Well, we'll send out a happy birthday to Mr. Bonaducci, 60 years old today. A milestone birthday for him, and another milestone birthday for a Philadelphia legend. It's Bobby Clark's birthday.
Ah, wow. Ah, that's how they sing happy birthday to him.
That's the clip we play for Bobby Clark. Bobby Clark is 70 years old today. It's funny when any time there is some sort of a NHL history montage, they always show that missing teeth shot of Bobby Clark smiling after they won the cup. It's
iconic.
It's just the iconic old school, old time hockey.
Yeah, you're right. Quintessential hockey image.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Bobby Clark, 70 years old today. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer. To the stupid question this morning, Pet Rats got a major boost in popularity, 50% sales increase following the release of what movie in 2007? 215-263-WMMR is the number. And to Rich we go. Hey, Rich, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. So we're talking about rats.
Rats!
And what movie spurred a 50% sales increase?
I want to say Ratatouille.
And you are correct, sir. No, it wasn't Rat Boy. Rich, hang on a second because we have got a pair of passes for Keystone Comic Con. You can geek out at Keystone Comic Con August 23rd through the 25th, Pennsylvania Convention Center. On August 25th, see Tom Holland, star of Spider-Man Far From Home. Keystone Comic Con is so much more than a Comic Con. It's an exciting weekend for the whole family. You can get tickets at KeystoneCon2019.com/tickets. All right, let's go to the entertainment stories. Wow, it's a bummer we weren't here, Steve, to get a little more fresh with this.
But I know.
Miley Cyrus, you know about all that went on yet. She is officially living her best life after splitting with husband Liam Hemsworth. Soaking in that post-breakup glow with a potential new fling. The mother's daughter singer and the Hunger Games star called it quits on Saturday after less than 8 months of marriage and many more as a couple. The two announced that they've decided to, quote, focus on themselves and their careers in a joint statement.
Focusing on ourselves. Now, they had been on again, off again, just in their relationship. And I honestly thought they never were going to get married. So they finally get married. It's sort of a secret ceremony.
A wedding will fix things.
The wedding. Let's have kids, too. Mm-hmm. But the thing that is wild is, I guess about 5 months ago, 4 months ago, she said she was bisexual, right? That she enjoyed relationships with women as well. And lo and behold, right? I'm sure you have the information there.
Well, yeah. So she is seemingly taking an on-to-the-next-level approach. As hours before the news broke, she was spotted kissing Caitlin Carter. Carter recently ended her not-so-real marriage to reality TV star and Kardashian step-sibling Brody Jenner.
Can you imagine?
The two have been vacationing in Lake Como, Italy, with Cyrus's sister, and were seen packing on the PDA at the Il Sereno Hotel over the weekend, where onlookers said they were not trying to hide it at all.
Oh, they were just right out there in the open, Preston.
Mm-hmm. Cyrus and Carter have been breathlessly documenting their travels on social media all week. Nick is showing me a video from her Instagram account where she's in a white bikini and just dancing very seductively.
All right.
So she's showing it all off.
She's loving life.
Big time, yes.
Dumping that dead weight.
Cyrus and Carter have been, like I said, documenting all this stuff. They were provoking some eyebrow-raising responses from the internet and their exes. So Carter had captioned a sun-kissed image of her and Cyrus saying, "Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby." Oh. And Jenner sent out the first missive writing, "What else? Hot girl summer," in the comments under the photo. But the Hill star seemingly took his joking too far for Cyrus's taste, quipping that, quote, "Pics of Liam and I holding hands on the beach are coming soon." So cue Cyrus entering the conversation with a commendably petty response, alluding to a fight that Jenner and Carter had on a recent episode of The Hill's New Beginnings.
Oh, my God.
She wrote, "Brody Jenner, go take a nap in your truck and cool off. Hashtag hot girl summer." She hit back, adding two dancing girl emojis.
Hot girl summer.
Cyrus is apparently looking toward the future after the split, sharing an inspirational message about change on her Instagram. Yes, Steve.
Oh, this is all happening on Instagram. I've got a follower, Preston. I'm missing so much.
Are you ready? So here,
yeah,
is,
please.
Here is her inspirational message she wrote.
Do we have music? That would.
Yes. I think you should cue the, this is inspirational, so this
oh.
is.
Oh, you want the.
The anthem. So she wrote, "Don't fight evolution because.
I hear you, bro.
You will never win. Like the mountain I'm standing on top of, which was once underwater, connected with Africa. What? Change is inevitable. This is my fight. Take back my life. All right, and life is a climb, but the view is great. This is my fight.
Take back my life. You know what? I think you need a different one. Can you do, can you read that line back to me again?
Which one?
The climb one.
Okay. Life is a climb, but the view is great.
What's the name of this song?
You love that song.
I do love the song.
I think that's probably why she wrote it.
Yeah.
She's so smart.
Hemsworth, meanwhile, has been the only one in this love square laying relatively low. He stepped out with his brother Chris in Byron Bay, Australia, where the two picked up some frozen yogurt. So they hit up Froyo.
Hey, you want some yogurt or something? Yeah. Hey, look at frozen yogurt.
But he did break his silence a little bit. The 29-year-old was, like I said, was hanging out with Chris. And,
let me eat my yogurt.
It seems Liam isn't quite ready to jump back in. And Liam told Daily Mail Australia when asked about the split, "You don't understand what it's like. I don't want to talk about it, mate."
I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he entered it. She seemed like a safe bet, Miley Cyrus. That she would be the wife he had always wanted. No, listen, the heart wants what the heart wants, Preston.
Mm-hmm.
And this heart wanted another chick.
I guess so,
yeah, right?
It's. I was about to say it's so funny, but not funny. It's just...
Ha-ha funny?
No.
Like I make you laugh?
It's interesting to watch couples in an off-again, on-again relationship. And you and your friends who know these people know. You know.
Yes.
It's never going to work.
It's
never going to work. But then one of them goes... Let's get married.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be serious about it. This is it. I'm diving in. And they think that is going to be the Band-Aid, that's going to be the big,
The impression of commitment. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's have the trappings of commitment.
Yeah.
Without the commitment.
And then they don't realize after it. It just goes back to the same old crap, and it didn't.
And there you are eating yogurt with your brother.
Yeah, exactly.
There you are eating fro-yo with your brother.
It's also funny to watch the reactions because he's laying low, not saying anything, not posting anything on Instagram. Meanwhile, Miley is going nuts on Instagram.
She's finger blasting somebody in Lake Cuomo.
And they're both, she and this Caitlyn girl, are both posting a ton of hot photos of themselves. So in order for them to get validation post-breakup, they need to post these superficial shots of themselves.
Right.
Whereas Liam is just like, I'm going to get some frozen yogurt.
Not for anything. Just, I don't know, live your life how you want to live, but maybe be a little respectful of the marriage you just had. Right? Yeah. I mean, just take a little bit of a breather before you're squatting on each other's faces and pictures on Instagram.
Just the hot girl post-breakup to me, it's so predictable.
It is.
And it's so funny. You just see it every time.
When you see somebody, especially, we see it all the time, suddenly somebody you haven't seen in a long time is on bathing suit pictures, ass shots, tongue out.
All over.
The whole thing is like, I bet now that relationship's on the skids.
Yeah, okay,
got it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would pay good money. I'm looking at this video of Miley dancing around in her white bikini. I would pay good money to see Casey reenact this because this is just hilarious.
How much money would you pay?
Well,
you're saying good money.
Not a lot.
Because I will not do that for free.
What if we send you to Lake Como?
If you send me to Lake Como.
Done.
I can't stand her. I never have. But I have to say, she is in phenomenal shape right now. She has really, she's been working out, you can tell.
She looks much better than she ever has.
Yeah, I still don't like her face, but anyway.
True. Or voice.
Yeah.
You mean her talking voice.
Yeah.
I love her singing voice.
Singing voice, yeah. You're right, Case.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan, but she can carry a tune very, very well.
She's got a level of musical talent. She can sing. I've heard her belt it out. I was sort of happy when she got together with Liam Hemsworth.
I wasn't. I didn't think she was hot enough for him. Like, he is super handsome, and she's just like kind of like okay looking, but like she's also like really talented.
You knew that there's if you're marrying Miley Cyrus, you know if you bring up anything in the bedroom, okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I got a donkey and a barbecue tong. You down for it? Yeah.
Okay.
So they were married for, you know, roughly 8 months, but they'd been together on and off for more than a decade.
Yeah, a long time.
Some question whether their elaborate ceremony in Nihi on Sumba.
This is all made up.
Are these real words? These are pretend places.
Yeah.
You're our geographer.
I know places, but yeah, this one's a mystery to me.
In Nihi on Sumba.
How do you spell it? How do you spell it?
Where'd you get married? Nihi.
How do you spell Nihi?
N-I-H-I.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said Ehi. That's a town one over.
No.
It's like Shelbyville in Springfield.
What?
That's how they sound in Ehi.
Oh, Nihi Sumba. It's all...
Oh.
All right. Is it an island nation?
Yeah, it's in...
Yeah, it's right next to Nelby Tai Tai.
It's in Indonesia.
Oh, dear Lord.
Nelby and Tata.
Is right next to Nihi on Sumba.
Yeah. Just south of Iso Tai Tai.
Where y'all gone? What?
That's the main city.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going into where you're going. Wait.
So people are wondering if their ceremony in Nihi on Sumba in June of 2018 was legally binding or not. They might not really be married. Ah. Yeah. Okay. So that was a big story.
It's sort of rocked my world.
All right, let's move on to this. 27-year-old model Kate Upton is getting real.
She's getting real, man. That's all I ever thought about Kate Upton. How real is this woman?
On the cover of Health, Upton, a vocal critic of airbrushing and an advocate for body positivity, refused to have her photo shoot airbrushed. Refused.
You see this knotted bush? It's all me.
She said, when you think about it.
Knotted bush.
Nice beaver.
I don't think there's any beaver on the cover of Health magazine.
No.
When you think about it, we have retouching everywhere now. And we don't even know it. People are staging Instagram shots and retouching those pictures. That's the new norm. And then we believe that's how people actually look and think we should look that way, too. So for me, doing an unretouched shoot is a step toward embracing real life. The goal should be to be the best you can. Try not to look like someone else. So we're looking at the picture, the untouched photo. Wow, she's a wreck. What a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What high-priced makeup artist did her makeup? What high-priced salon did her hair?
Well, even if they didn't, she's still just
stunning.
Naturally
yeah.
gorgeous. So Upton, by the way, who gave birth to her first child in November, also says that she has a stronger body image now than she did as a young model.
Oh, that's awesome.
She adds that she's over the size two mentality. I don't want anyone to have to be in that negative space where they think, oh, no, I don't fit into a size two dress. You know what? Who cares? Buy another one.
Now that the damage is done, I'm changing the way I'm perceived.
She was motivated to create Strong For Me with her trainer, Ben Bruno, in the hopes that she can help women of any fitness level get stronger. The thing about focusing, she said, on your own journey and strength is that you see the results more quickly instead of beating yourself up about the number on the scale. You notice when you get stronger. It's a healthier mindset, one that took me a while to get to. That's really what I wanted to share with others, she said. So, yeah, okay. Can you fix my face? Because that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's, I mean, you can, it's not just, but she's just beautiful. And so.
I don't know. Yeah. If you want to get nitpicky, she's kind of gummy. She's kind of like big old gums.
Yeah.
You're a little gummy.
You're a little gummy. No, again. They're wearing, you know, the top fashion designers are providing them with clothing. They have the top hair people and makeup people. And that's, you know, listen, that's their occupation. You're supposed to.
Sure.
Forever,
that's why you're in that.
Forever
Absolutely.
We've known that people on the cover of magazines, there's, you know, back when you bought Playboy, Preston, when you were in school, did you ever for one second think that those women were completely bereft of any sort of marks on their skin whatsoever?
No.
Did you even at that point? And did that ever stop you from pleasuring yourself?
No,
it didn't. But I will say though, Steve, like the first time I ever saw like in the flesh, really real naked boobs,
Kathy Bates.
No, like I was like, oh, these don't look like. You know, I'm used to seeing on TV.
You can put your top on. You can put your top back on, Grandma.
I remember, and it was kind of disappointing because they were like big, right? So I was like, "Oh, these things are going to be awesome.
These are big."
And then when they came out, I was like, "Oh, these are like they're not like Emmanuel,
Grandma."
All right. Well, anyhow, let's move on to somebody else. While Hollywood A-lister Jessica Alba could be out every night of the week if she wanted.
She could be. She has enough money to go out.
She says that she's really a born homebody. Still, after 11 years of marriage to Cash Warren and three children, she still wants to keep the spark alive. She said, you're going to love this story.
I ripped from the pages of the news.
She says, I really like being at home. And my kids like when we have a date night. They're like, ooh, you're kissing. And they always talk about how we go on dates and smooch. On the one hand, they have their kid reaction. But on the other hand, they're into it and they think it's healthy. So she is partnering with HelloFresh to capitalize on at-home date nights for other families with the company's first-ever date night box featuring fresh ingredients and step-by-step prep instructions.
Oh, no.
The meal includes tomato bruschetta for an app, prosciutto-wrapped chicken over truffled mushroom risotto for the main, then food stirs, molten chocolate mug cakes for the dessert.
Anything on that list that they can stuff in her mouth and shut her up?
Her date nights, by the way, she says that she and Warren like to make coco e pipi and Italian meatballs together, or a tagine and risotto.
Yeah, that sounds like everybody's date night.
And she also says she likes to cook together with wine and maybe some jazz in the background.
Mm.
She also knows
that. I put on some Miles Davis.
She also knows that.
Make some poopatiti?
You have to get out of your yoga pants.
Yeah, you do have to get out of your yoga pants.
She says you can have
and put on your bib overalls.
You can have an elevated outfit without it being uncomfortable. Throw on a slip or a slip dress, even if you're barefoot.
What the hell is he talking about?
Put on your game face.
Put on some jazz.
I'm a scat man.
She says,
it's getting me in the mood.
Put on your game face.
Okay. You mean like put little dark marks under your eyes?
Yeah.
Paint your whole body.
Go Devils.
She said,
go meatballs.
Some people don't like to wear any makeup at all, but if I put on even a little bit, I feel great.
You look great. You're a stunning woman.
Part of the HelloFresh date night box is that the first 100 customers will receive an Honest Beauty tinted lip balm and eyeshadow palette.
Oh, my God.
It's easy to do a nice, soft, smoky eye. That little touch of something makes it feel like it's not just another night in. I also love candles, music.
Babe, I just want a hand job.
Dimming the
lights. Wow. Yeah, right? Wow.
Dimming the lights and those little touches really help. Well, honey, if you want one, you're just going to have to sit through this first.
I still have to prepare some couscous.
Yes.
Do a little more smoky treatment of my eyes. And then I'm going to flip over the Scatman Carruthers album.
So, anyhow.
Sounds like he's gargling with a tire.
The bottom line is that she's partnering with HelloFresh and doing date night box, which I don't see how this is any different than the regular HelloFresh meal that you get.
It's a lot more expensive, apparently.
It's been curated by Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
That's what makes the price set.
I'm trying to find the price on it, the total price, but this coupon that she's offering up gets you $80 off. So whatever the price is worth it. It's so expensive.
Oh, wow.
It might be. Sometimes you don't just order one. You know, you order like a month worth.
May I suggest something? A box of wine and Tostinos.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, we did the HelloFresh thing for a long time and enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. It's
your
nice.
Date nights, how smoky did your eyes get? You got pink eyes.
Yeah, look at my eyes.
Mm-hmm. It's Totino's, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Damn it.
He said Tostinos.
Tostinos.
He's combining Tostitos and Totinos, which wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't be terrible.
Maybe I designed something you should look into.
Totinos. All right. So I threw this in the celebrity news just for the hell of it. Less than 2 weeks after Kyle Booga Gersdorf. Well, he's from the area. He won $3 million in the Fortnite World Cup Tournament Championship.
That's right.
The Pennsylvania 16-year-old was swatted on Saturday night while live streaming a game on Twitch. Yeah. He was playing Fortnite Arena Trios, I guess is how you say that, with friends when he was heard talking to his father. And he said, I've been swatted before leaving for about 10 minutes. And when he came back, he said, well, that's a new one. They came in with guns, bro. That's scary. The internet's effing crazy. So, you know, armed police came because they were told there was a situation there. It was a call. So Gersdorf said the incident calmed down when one of the police officers recognized him. An official with the Upper Pottsgrove Township Police said that they got a call from someone pretending to be Gersdorf, who said that he had killed his father and tied up his mother in the garage.
Oh, my God. You remember they swatted some innocent guy. He showed up at the door and got shot.
Yeah. Yeah, because police...
They don't know.
Well, and he didn't know what was going on. He just came to the door and they were told it was a threat and it wasn't. And it's
a felony, is it not?
It's dangerous for everybody.
I hope it's a felony.
I would hope so. The police believe the call came from Europe, by the way. So good luck tracking them down and having them face any kind of repercussions for that at all.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So I feel bad for this kid, but fortunately it got straightened out.
By the way, when you swat someone, you're pulling away police that could be attending to something that might be real.
Yeah, that too. Absolutely. But, you're putting people in danger.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Seems like Gwyneth Paltrow might need to watch some of the movies she's been in because according to Marvel producer Kevin Feige, and I think I've heard that's how you pronounce it. We've pronounced it Feige and Fague and Feige, and I think it's Feige. Apparently, according to him, she had no clue that she starred in numerous films with Samuel L. Jackson. In an Empire interview published on Friday, Feige tells the magazine that the actress who plays Pepper Potts was confused when she saw Samuel L. Jackson at a 2018 gathering for the Marvel cast photo shoot for the 10th anniversary of Marvel Studios films. He said Gwyneth was asking why Sam Jackson was there, and the other actors were jumping in and saying, what are you talking about? He's Nick Fury. You've been in movies with him. But Feige said that it was really something special. Now, in June... she slipped up while appearing on Netflix's The Chef Show with Jon Favreau, who, of course, is a director for Iron Man and a bunch of the films, by accidentally revealing that she had no clue that she was in Spider-Man Homecoming with Tom Holland. In July, actor Sebastian Stan, whose birthday is today, he plays Bucky and the Winter Soldier. He had worked with Paltrow in numerous films, and he shared that he had to reintroduce himself to her on three different occasions. Now, in her defense, the MCU films, the sets are pretty secretive. Actors are often clueless as to what movies they're shooting a scene for when they arrive on set, and some have even been given bogus scripts. But one person at Paltrow apparently remembers working with is Chris Pratt. She at least felt moved to comment on a photo of his butt one time.
I will tell you this. So you have all these different movies, and as the structure goes, you know, they're all shot sort of piecemeal, or were right. being shot sort of piecemeal. But we get the impression that, of course, they're going to go see these movies. And a lot of times they don't. They don't see the finished product.
Yeah. And she may not really be into the whole superhero thing. So she doesn't go see it. She goes, does her work, gets the check, moves on to the next thing. And,
yeah.
You know,
the work's been good. That's all we want.
I'm trying to remember because there are so many hours of movie. But were she and Sam Jackson in the same scene ever?
Not that I could recall, because I did a quick search in my head this morning trying to think of the same thing, but I don't remember them ever.
In the original Iron Man, he's not in the scene with her.
It's like Coulson.
Coulson is in scenes with her,
yep.
But it's not ever, to the best of my knowledge, Nick Fury and her.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. How about this? Leonardo DiCaprio and Sean Penn been living their best lives on a yacht off the coast of Italy. DiCaprio and his 22-year-old girlfriend Camilla Maroney have been packing on the PDA right alongside Penn and his 27-year-old flame, Lila George.
Life is good, huh?
So I guess here's what I think is they let the ladies kind of, you know.
Yeah.
They got together so that their girlfriend could have someone young.
Talk to.
It's a play date.
Right, yeah.
Hey, what do you get together for a play date?
Here's some string. Go play in the corner.
Yo, he is in phenomenal shape, though. I mean, Sean Penn.
Oh.
He's always been pretty body conscious. He's buffed up for a couple of roles.
He has.
In movies throughout the years.
Yeah.
Can you
believe that?
I like the idea of a play date. Yeah, Penn is, he's 58, she's 27. Leo is 44, she's 22.
Do you have your toothbrush?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got everything?
Do you have your iPad?
Did anybody else
watch? It's got her cartoons on it.
Anybody else watch that show that he was in, not First Man? It was called like The First.
It was an astronaut thing, right?
It was.
I heard good things about it, but it's not on anymore.
Yeah, they were going to, it was, you know, on Amazon Prime or Hulu or whatever it was. So they released it all at once. And it was about a mission to Mars. The First. Yeah. You know, but I don't know if it was something that was just like a one-time limited series.
I think it was supposed to go a little bit longer, and they decided to pass on it.
Yeah,
it was on Hulu, Case.
Yeah, okay.
There was a problem though, Preston, between the two girlfriends. They were playing a game, and one girl lost, and she started to throw a hissy fit.
Yeah,
and Sean Penn had to go say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
To Leo's girlfriend,
and then a timeout.
Yeah,
for a little while after that.
So I want ice cream.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then one last story. The star-studded morning show is making a bow. So this stars Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell. And Apple released the first trailer for the morning show, which has been described as a high-stakes drama that takes a close look at what happens behind the scenes on morning TV. And this is Jennifer Aniston's first foray back into TV since Friends ended in 2001.
Honestly, if it's anything like the high-stakes nature of what goes on behind a major morning radio show, it's going to be boring.
So this is a TV show.
Oh.
So the morning show will drop in the fall of 2019. And it says that Apple released it. So is that Apple?
Their version of Netflix. They have a whole series of.
What's it called? I don't even know.
You know, I forget the
iteration. It's not Apple TV, right?
I think it's going to have something like okay. Apple. If you can check that out, what their actual Apple streaming service is. But they have a whole bunch of stuff. M. Night Shyamalan's working with them and the It's Always Sunny guys. There's a whole bunch of new content coming out.
Okay. We can move over to the clips now. Adam Ruins Everything sets out to break everyday misconceptions about the world we live in. This clip, Adam Conover explains how he translates the topics on his mind into episodes. Here we go.
They always stuck with me, you know, and they would always really like sort of, you know, get me a little worked up and be fun to think about, you know. And so creating the show was really a matter of saying, okay, how can I give that same feeling to the audience over and over again? Here's a feeling I've always loved when I read a piece of nonfiction. How do I combine that with comedy and give that to the audience over and over again?
I love that show. In fact, he did an episode that was exclusively about all the mistakes that they had made in previous episodes.
I saw that one. Yeah.
I thought it was really, I'm like, okay, good. You're turning it around on yourself, and that's solid. Adam Ruins Everything returns tonight, 10 o'clock on True TV. Here's the next clip. Taking place in 2199, Pandora features an intelligent young woman learning to defend the galaxy from threats while she attempts to learn the secrets of her identity. Here, Priscilla Quintana describes how she lives vicariously through her character.
She is resilient. She is a badass. She's tough as nails, but still soft, like kind. And she fights for what she wants. And I resonate with all those things. But she's just so much cooler than me.
So Pandora will air tonight at 8 o'clock, and that is on the CW.
How'd they get away with that now? With the Pandora being, I'm sure, trademarked for the Avatar movies.
I don't know.
But then again, there's Pandora bracelets as well.
Yeah.
That's an
and there's Pandora the music service, right? Isn't that?
Yeah.
There's man, a lot of, what the hell is going on?
Well, what
here?
Is Pandora? I mean, if you were to, like, the actual the Greek, definition of him.
It's Pandora's box.
Yeah.
So Pandora was a... I'd have to look it up. Pandora was a character in Greek mythology.
Yes.
But,
and if you open Pandora's box, you
all
make a baby.
The evils come out and you make a baby. No.
it's the first woman that's a human created by a god.
Oh, okay.
And, we did it!
Yeah, we figured it out. And to answer your question, Steve, earlier, it's Apple TV Plus, which I don't know what that is.
That's that is the streaming service.
So that's the morning show. The Jennifer Aniston thing is going to be on Apple TV Plus. So that will be within your Apple TV if you already have Apple TV?
Should be, yeah.
Okay. Because I have Apple TV, but I've never watched Apple TV Plus.
All right, here's another. You want me to read this?
Yeah, please. Yeah,
definition of Pandora, a burrowing bivalve mollusk. With a fragile shell, the unequal valves of which form a box with a lid.
Hmm.
That's what the show's about.
Yeah, that's what the show's about.
The mollusk. I think
they probably got the name for that mollusk, from the Greek
probably
mythology.
The famous mollusk that created woman.
Yeah, that's a clam, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop talking about clams.
Please.
Stop thinking of clams.
Already.
All right. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the entertainment report. So, we have a chance for you and a whole bunch of cool stuff this morning. We have a limited edition Avengers Assembled Steelbook. All four Avengers films on digital 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and Blu-ray. And a $1,000 Best Buy gift card. How do you win this, pray tell? Well, what you have to do is go to PrestonandSteve.com. We're doing an emoji code.
Yeah.
Casey has put together a series of emojis that will reveal some sort of phrase or words. And later on, we'll ask you to call in. And if you get it correct, then
there's
you,
no words.
You win. There are no words
there's
on
no
it,
words.
Actually.
Have you guys figured it out yet, by
no.
the way?
No.
I haven't even looked at it.
Yeah. It's so hard.
So make sure that you
get... I can't read it. There's no words on it.
I'm sorry, Bill. You just have to do your best. So
thing sucks.
Well, that's your opinion. So go take a look at it. We'll ask you to call in later on. And don't forget that in celebration of the in-home release of Marvel Studios Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios and Best Buy are giving back to the fans who have invested so deeply in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with the We Love You 3000 fan give back. That is
well, do it live!
That is what it's called. So figure out today's emoji code and then listen for your chance to call in and win. So get to that. That is your homework assignment this morning on the way into work. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in just a moment and see what we can get into. So make sure you stay with us, all right?
Attention, campers.
With so many rock shows coming to BB&T Pavilion in August, MMR figures we'll just pitch our tent and stay the whole month. 9 killer rock concerts creates the opportunity for MMR's first rock residency. Breaking Benjamin. Santana. Alice Cooper and Hailstorm.
No more is the night sky.
What doesn't kill me makes me vicious.
MMR's got complete concert coverage and lots of chances to win your way in. For a complete rundown on MMR's rock residency in August and a chance at exclusive prizes and backstage experiences, check WMMR.com.
All right, thanks, Kat. By the way, Deeds and Watson, our friends, stopping in today. So thank you to Marinucci's Deli in the Northeast. They're going to be bringing us an assortment of their specialty sandwiches. including Addie's Hot Chicken featuring Dietz and Watson Southern Fried Chicken. Southern Fried, you got to say it that way. Buffalo Wing Cheddar and Sriracha Aioli, and you can check them out in the Dietz and Watson Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. We have a couple of other things going on. Chances to win a Preston and Steve tattoo, which we do on Tattoos Days. That's today. Text the word tattoo to 39333. We got a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo to give away to get your Preston and Steve tattoo there at the shop. And we have your chance to get on board with the emoji code today. It is your chance to win. It's with our friends, Avengers Endgame. And we have this really cool package. So it's the Avengers Assembled Steelbook. All four Avengers films on digital 4K, Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and Blu-ray. And a $1,000 Best Buy gift card.
That is a wonderful package of stuff.
So get to work on the emoji code. It is only at PrestonandSteve.com today. Take a look at it, decipher it, crack the code, and then get yourself ready because we'll tell you when to call in to win. Our designated caller gets a chance to answer and possibly win that whole package, and that does include that $1,000 Best Buy gift card, so get yourself ready for it.
Just as the Avengers had to gather the Infinity Stones, you too have to crack this code.
This is true, exactly. All right, so, yeah, Kathy's right. It was a beautiful weekend. Gorgeous. Stunning. I bet it was great getting out there, wasn't it?
It was actually quite glorious. I'm sure you were enjoying it all, just going around seeing things. And, no, that's right. You never made it out of your house,
did
you?
I never left the house. No, I did actually leave the house at one point, but...
to rub your eyes on things?
My wife made me. No, she made me go to a party.
Oh!
I know. I was not in
with
the mood
two
to go to a party.
Eyes with, filled with pink eyes?
Oh, my God. Horrible. And I looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I had pink eye. For those who don't know, I have pink eye. I started feeling it on Friday when we were here. Remember the show?
Yeah, we saw.
And I thought it was actually clearing up by the time you left. You seemed to be better.
It was just getting started.
No, yeah,
it was
that
just
gets a tease. Worse quick.
Yeah. And so, and I had a sinus infection, which is actually even worse. The pink eye was just an annoyance, but the sinus infection just made me feel horrible all weekend long. And then I got a flat tire on the way to work this morning.
Damn, man.
So I hate to chuckle, but it's the way life goes. Yeah. When it craps on you, it really spreads the cheeks.
So I started, Friday morning I woke up and I'm like, my right eye, I had a hard time opening. And I'm like, oh, man, I wonder what's up here. And I saw myself in the mirror and my eye was red. And I'm like, I bet I have pink eye. And I called Dr. Mike. He got me some stuff. Well, then by the time I got to Saturday, it had jumped over the bridge of my nose. And went into the left eye, and I'm sure that happened because I was rubbing my eye.
Of course, of course.
And I'm rubbing the other eye, and I just got it in there, too. So by the time I woke up Sunday morning, dude, Steve, I kid you not, I woke up and could not open my eyes. I couldn't. I'm sitting there.
No, I know.
I didn't panic because I had already, flirted, you know, the right eye, I'd already felt what that sensation was like. I'm like, let me sit here and really try and open my eyes without using my hands, and I couldn't do it. I mean, I'm like stretching my eyelids and my forehead as much as I could because they were all crusted shut, Kathy.
Dear God.
Crusty, yellow, boogery material that had solidified and crystallized overnight and sealed my eyeball shut.
I know this for a fact because when I was a kid, the one and only time I had pink eye was as a kid. And I remember the terror of
not
trying
being
to
able
figure
to
out.
Yes.
And
wait,
yeah.
Did you listen to me and call Dr. Mike, or did you wait until you had him both eyes?
Oh, no. I called him.
Okay.
Yeah, I called him that day.
Okay.
And
in fact,
he kind of brushed it off. And then he had called me later in the day. And God bless Dr. Mike. He's the greatest doctor in the world.
The best.
Because he had called me. We spoke Friday morning. And then he called me Friday afternoon. He went to the shore. And I could hear in the background, whoosh.
Yeah.
I could hear the beach and everything. He's like, and so he called to check on me.
Oh, my God.
He's just the greatest man in the world. And I, and he's sitting here. I'm sitting here on the beach. You know, he's kind of being quiet because his family was around. He didn't want him to know he was working while he was calling me. But anyhow, and so we talked about the sinus infection. That was the main thing that he was concerned about. I'm like, what about this eye thing? And he's like, I might have this. Let me call something in. So he called me in this ointment that drops. Ointment.
Yeah, I wonder why.
You have to get into my eyeballs.
Because I did have it before, and I got the drops, and it cleared it up. I mean, I want to say almost in a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he probably did Dr. that because Mike? You bothered him at the beach.
Probably.
What's the slowest working stuff you have?
So I had to put the ointment in there, and it started, it's gotten slowly.
Seagulls!
Slowly it's gotten better. The right eye, I woke up yesterday morning and I could open the right eye. That was good. And the left eye was still sealed shut. But I woke up this morning, I was able to open both eyes. So it's, it's cleared up.
It just sucks. And this, it's very contagious.
And by the way, the picture I posted on Instagram, that's nothing. That was, the next day was horrible.
Like deep red? Like Dracula red?
Yeah, both eyes.
So the picture we're looking at, is that Saturday morning?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And when was the party?
Saturday afternoon. Yeah, and then it got really bad. It was Saturday evening.
You should have come in saying, I just watched Marley and Me. Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't put your foot down. I can't believe... Happy listen.
Happy wife, happy life.
I understand that. I really, really do. And so many times, like, you know, sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. But when you're sick and you have pink eye, you can go, dude, I cannot... Go.
I know the story. Did you like the people whose party you were going to?
Yeah, it was it was our friend Brian from Course Photography.
Brian's great, yeah.
He's great, and he was having a get-together, and I come walking in, and he even looked at me, he goes, I told her you guys didn't have to come.
You should have gone around to all his cameras and go, this is really nice. Start picking up and holding out to your eyes. What kind of lens is this? And this one's nice.
Yeah, he's like, I told her you guys didn't have to come, and I just kind of shrugged my head. I'm like, I'm here. Whatever, man. Give me some booze.
Yeah.
That'll help. Man. So I opened up Instagram and had 9,000 messages because you posted a picture and tagged me in.
Yeah, I did. I said, will Kathy even let me in the studio?
No, she probably would not. You look much better today, so obviously it's had a...
You do, so I let you in. Yeah. But I will say, I had one response that I was going to write, and I didn't. I went with, no, she will not. But my first response was, did a stripper fart on your pillow?
Okay, so, and this is why I'm bringing this up.
And the legend is born.
I saw the first comment, one of the first comments was, somebody farted on your pillow, or Casey farted on your pillow, or whatever. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then they kept coming and coming and coming and coming about farting on your pillow, farting on your pillow. I told my wife, I'm like, have you ever heard of this before? She said, no, I've never heard that myth in my life.
So we always we combined the two because the farting on the pillow was always, it was just, that was kind of how you could get pink eye is if somebody farted on your pillow. And then a friend of mine got pink eye after a stripper at a strip club rubbed her boobs in his face.
Yeah. I think I remember you telling me that story.
So someone had farted on her boobs.
So we turned it into a stripper farted on your pillow.
Okay. I like that.
So this thing, Kathy, throughout your life has been a legend of the farting on the pillow. I was in Preston's camp. I had not heard it.
Marissa's heard it. And that's why I was like, okay, so it's either, and since Rochelle hadn't heard it, I'm like, it's either regional or it's an age thing.
Okay, so I thought there was, I think there's a scene in Knocked Up where they mention farting on a pillow because, like, the entire Seth Rogen lives with a bunch of guys and they all end up getting pink eye. And I think that there was a mention of farting on a pillow, which is where this may have become more of a mainstream urban legend.
But the concept being that particulate fecal matter from your fart would infect your eye and give you pink eye.
That seems
valid.
But I don't think fecal matter has anything to do. Not that it matters.
No, it doesn't.
It has anything to do with pink eye.
Well, I think. Well, hold on.
Do you ever bob for apples in your toilet?
Dr. Mike told me it was viral.
Yeah, right.
It's because something gets in your eye, correct?
I don't know. Maybe. I know that it is contagious.
I don't
know. Nick's looking up the technical term for it is conjunctivitis.
Yes.
And you'd have to look.
Like at the conjunctivitis. What's your function?
No.
Sealing up your eyes and making you blind.
Do you have gonorrhea or chlamydia?
I have both.
Okay. Well, then that can cause it as well.
Is your labia major distended?
Oh, my.
You never wear contacts.
Put weights on it to stretch it out. What's that?
You never wear contacts, right?
Nope.
Don't wear
contacts.
People who wear contacts, they can get it more
I've heard that.
Frequently.
The only...
A degree of cleanliness is involved. Though if it's viral, would that even matter?
Well it's viral and bacterial.
Oh, it says prevention is partly by hand washing. Allergies to pollen or animal hair are also a common cause.
Kathy, what do they say about washing your strippers?
Your stripper's ass.
The only thing I can think of is that my dog like licks everybody's face like crazy.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
Haley may have gotten licked my eye, you know.
Are you the only one?
Around my nose and eyes. No, everybody.
Everybody has? No. I mean, that has a pink eye in your house.
Yeah, I'm the only one that has pink eye now.
Okay. Have you been to Ghana or Peru recently?
Twice last spring.
You were at Risque Ghana.
This is so gross. I cannot look at these pictures. I'm done.
There's a lot that's carried around. I'm surprised, honestly, that you have it and had it and no one else in the house has gotten it.
Well, I just made sure that like Dr. Mike said, if you use a towel, don't let anybody else use
right,
it.
Right.
Oh, my God. Did you clean off all your lice?
Yeah. We do get the weirdest stuff,
you
don't
do.
We?
You get stuff. Yeah. You get stuff that people coming to the New World would have gotten on the ship. I'm waiting for the scurvy outbreak at the end.
See, I don't think this is all that weird. It looks gross when your eyes are pussing, but I don't think it's that weird.
Next I'll have the mumps or a goiter or gout or something.
He's got the Black Death.
Something weird.
Yeah.
Is this something that people call out from work sick for?
I think because of its contagiousness, I think sometimes that would probably be the case. But Preston, I is going to be aware, obviously, of eyes.
I walked in with Matt Cord this morning, and he was like, I can't believe Preston's here.
Oh, I wouldn't. No.
No, he's just excited to see you. I can't believe Preston's here.
No, but I'm saying he was shocked that the guy wasn't out. It wasn't something that you'd call out sick for.
No.
Diarrhea.
Dr. Mike told me as long as I wash my hands, don't touch my eyes, everything's cool.
Do you think you would have been able to drive on Saturday or Sunday? I'm sorry, Case.
Yeah. Drive on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, you can see with
it. Yeah, you can see.
That's
right.
What I didn't know how closed your eyes actually were as a result.
No. Only when you wake up.
Okay. I can't see.
When I had it, my eye doctor told me I could even still wear my contacts if I wanted to.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't. I wore my glasses, which I don't usually do, but just because it was kind of irritating.
Mm-hmm. I would have been worried that the contact would have gotten stuck to my eyeball forever and ever. My son used to, tear ducts were clogged, so we actually had to have little minor procedure.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So he would wake up quite often, and it wasn't pink eye, but he would wake up and it was such a shame because he was only 2 years old, and he wouldn't be able to open his eyes, and we always had to get a warm, wet washcloth.
So no tears would be able to pass through the open duct?
Not necessarily that. This is so long ago. Yeah. No, because he could cry and tears would come down, but... I guess
it was not.
There would always be a giant collection of eye boogies when he was awake.
Wow.
And then when he would go to sleep, it would be even worse.
I had that happen when I was a baby. And I had to have surgery.
So he did.
Yeah, they had to stick a little probe into the tear ducts and clear them open.
Would it look like, I'm not joking, but would it look like little omelet things on your, because I've seen kids that look like they have a tremendous amount of, as you call them, eye boogies that almost covers the whole eye.
I think what Seamus went through is the same thing what I went through, and I was one case when I had to have the surgery. Obviously, I don't remember it at all, but my parents would have to take the warm washcloth to my eyes every morning.
Open them up. It was wild because they had to put him under, so he was under anesthesia. And listen, he was a cute baby. But he was so cute when he was coming off of that anesthesia. He was like,
this is great. I just pooped in my pants.
Let me see. I'm going to go to some calls here. I'm going to go to Megan. Hey, Megan, good morning.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Yeah, talking about my crusty eyeballs. What's up?
So we have two dogs, my husband and I, and they both had pink eye simultaneously. And my left eye started itching, so I called the vet, and I found out that it's not contagious between dogs and humans.
Okay. If the dogs have pink eye, though, can the dog, vis-a-vis their saliva or whatever, transfer anything that could cause pink eye? Was your doctor clear?
They said that they either got it at the dog park or we just had gotten them groomed.
What kind of strippers walk your dogs?
Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
Thanks, Megan. I wasn't sure whatever it was, that they, not that the dog had pink eye, but had gotten something that caused irritation.
You do the same thing. I do it as well. And then do the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
A Niedermeyer, with the horse. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is that there's a lot of things in... that can F you up,
Yeah. Hang on a second here. Casey found this, or Marissa did this clip from Knocked Up.
Holy crap. What happened?
You got pink eye.
Giving each other butterfly kisses or something?
Ha ha ha. Very funny. That's not how you get pink eye. You get it from poo particles making their way into your ocular cavities.
But you can get pink eye from farting in a pillow?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's right. That's, okay, so I don't know if I believe that or had heard that before that movie,
yeah.
Or if that's where I had heard it for the first time.
Yeah, it's a chicken and egg thing, but yeah. It may have just reaffirmed the long-standing legend.
I didn't know.
I love these things where you know, it's the, oh, we've talked about this before, the punching someone with their eyes crossed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Is there any scientific anything?
Well, or like, you know, hair on your hands from spanking it.
Right.
That used to be the myth. That
but you can't see the hair because you've gone blind, Preston, so you never see the hair.
We used to tell my brother that if he kept picking his nose, his brain would cave in.
Right. I've heard that one.
So he had believed that for the
longest
time.
That's a standard.
Mm-hmm.
let me see. I'm going to go to John. Hey, John, good morning.
Oh, my God, they picked me.
Yes, you're on, John. What's up, bud?
Hey, so I'm in the reserve, and one of the things I always found odd is we'll have guys get injured in between our drill weekends that we have to go to, and, you know, some guys will have a pretty serious injury, and they'll want them to actually come in, show the paperwork to the medical staff and all that. But if somebody calls and says, hey, I have pink eye, they're just like, email us your note. I don't want you to come in here.
No kidding.
So injuries don't get you the pass, but pink eye will.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's always hilarious to me. I'll be walking, and then once in a while you have somebody that actually shows up for duty but has pink eye, and the corpsman will come out and see him walking down the hallway and be like, what's wrong with your eye? And I've seen these guys walking out with their bags like, oh, I'm going home.
Does pink eye doesn't affect your eyesight, though, does it?
It's because of how contagious it is.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in close quarters a lot of times, so
yeah.
Any ripping from that unit.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate those things that like bed bugs, like lice, like anything that's a close proximity.
So my first indicator that something was going on with my eye, first I felt like there was an eyelash in my eye.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, man, and it was annoying, and I couldn't get it. You know, I'm pulling the lid down, and I'm trying to get it out of there. And as I was doing that, then things in my right eye started getting blurry. And I'm like, well, that's weird. That usually doesn't happen if I get a lash. And eventually the blurriness went away, and then it just... Mm-hmm. The irritation stayed, and then when I woke up the next morning and it was sealed shut.
Mercedes, take a look at my eye. Does it look? When you're done on the center pole, can you take a look at my eye?
She's the one that had to fart on my pillow, right?
Right. Yeah, she farted on your pillow. Yeah,
that'll be $10.
Let me see. I will go to Dave. Hi, Dave. Good morning. Hi, Dave. You're on the air. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Now we can hear you.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Dave?
I work at Children's Hospital, and you were mentioning about not working while you have pink eye. I contacted pink eye while I was, I guess, through work maybe, but whatever. I was sent home for 4 days until it cleared up. You just weren't allowed to work with pink eye because you're contagious to the other children, I'm sure.
Yeah, you work at Child.
I could see that there.
Yes,
yeah.
with their reserves down, their immunity level reduced, you'd be, that'd be an issue. Yeah, that makes sense.
They're all very compromised. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but the thing is, in radio, we're all expendable.
Thanks, so buddy.
I'm
going to
see you guys every day.
Thank you.
A couple of people texted and said that the conjunctivitis is likely a byproduct of the sinus infection that I have.
Interesting.
Oh, it says, I had one instance identical to what you're talking about in college.
I know Dr. Mike's a P1. He'd be on the blower now.
He might still be taking a couple days off. He was headed down to the shore.
He deserves it, man. I always tell him. In fact, I have to check in with him because I do checkups on him.
Yeah, I'm sure his wife made him.
He doesn't want days off. He told me while he's on the beach, he's like, you know me. He's like, I can't. If I'm not working, he goes, if I won the lottery, I'd die.
Yeah.
I asked him one time.
I wouldn't have anything to do, and it would drive me crazy. I just have to be working all the time.
I asked him one time if he had, like, a vacation. I said, is that a vacation day for you? He goes, does your sickness take a vacation?
he is true to his word.
He is.
On Thanksgiving, around 3:30, when most people, 4 o'clock, that's the kind of job. But he gives a rat's ass, and that's we're all the better for it.
He is an amazing man, no question.
All right, what I want you to do is have a strip of fat on your pillow.
Here you go. Let me go to... Ryan. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Hey, dickheads.
Hey, Ryan.
Dickheads?
I like the dickheads.
All right.
That's not the call and response.
Go ahead, Ryan.
So I used to work with this guy in Exton, and he would come in all lit up all the time. His eyes would be completely red.
And the one morning he comes in and his eyes are all glassy and his one eye's red and he has a huge smile on his face. And the other one, clearly, he just put Visine in.
Uh-huh.
And he goes up to the boss and goes, I think I have pink eye with a huge smile on his face. And they were just like, Jeff, go home.
I guess pink eye can be fairly easy to fake, right?
Well,
yeah, if you're high,
if you're high or some way you can irritate one eye, All right, thanks.
It was hilarious.
I could totally see that happening. And it has been fun watching. I did go out a few times. We went to a movie, and then I went to that party, and I just go to the convenience store or whatever. But it has been pretty funny watching people react
when they were deep red
to the eyeball. Yeah, especially when when one was much more. Actually, cool. Both of them, I mean, like, fire red, Steve. And just watching people just kind of double take was kind of
funny.
Stay
away from that man. Yeah. He had a stripper fart in his face.
Preston, you didn't go to a 3D movie, did you?
No.
Okay.
No, I did not.
Don't you throw those out?
I really wanted, over the weekend, because I didn't feel well, I just wanted to stay in, but I really wanted to work on the VR game I've been playing.
Oh, which one?
But it's called Red Matter.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we share the helmet, and I'm like, should I? No.
Unless you want to buy a pink eye headset.
Not cool at all. And you know what? Here, hang on a second. I'm glad that Sean is calling in because I didn't feel well, I thought, well, maybe I'll go get a massage somewhere. But Sean is a massage therapist. Hey, Sean, good morning.
And that green thing.
What's that?
That's Mel Gibson.
God.
Oh, is that one of his rants?
Yeah, from his phone call.
Oh, wow. That's a good call. I totally forgot that. Yeah.
All right, so.
Yeah, man. So I've been a therapist for about 15 years, and a couple of times a year we'll have someone come in with the flu and want to get a massage. But the biggest thing that we've had a problem with is people coming in with pink eye, and they look at you like you're crazy, like, no, you need to massage me. And we can't even have them, like, get their robes on or do anything like that because, I mean, if anybody knows about pink eye, it's highly contagious. So I'm standing there, and I'm like, look, I have a family. I have two kids. I have a wife. You're not only jeopardizing me, but my family, all of my colleagues, and all of the other clients that are coming into our facility. So you need to go home. And I insist you
rub me.
Well, it's not quite that bad, I don't think, Sean. But when I considered, like I said, I didn't want to do anything. But I did, because I have this sinus infection as well. I'm like, maybe I could go get a massage. But the thing that kept me from scheduling one is the face cradle. I'm like, I can't stick my face in that thing. There's no way.
Well, your towels also, I wonder. So if you have pink eye and you're touching someone, you touch their, they've touched their eye and they've touched their shoulder. You touch, there has to be.
They pick their nose. They do whatever. Right.
You do a lot of nose massages.
We get up in
do
there.
Do a deep nose massage.
All right, thanks, Sean. I appreciate it. But anyhow, I know that nobody in my family has gotten it, so I've spent the entire weekend with them, and everybody's okay.
You're the only one who frequents strippers.
That's true. I'm the only one that gets it.
Gassy strippers.
But anyhow, it was. I hope you guys. Did you guys have a good weekend?
It was actually really nice. I like long weekends. I actually toast.
The weather was great. I did get out. I did get into the pool a couple times, and I did consider. Am I contaminating the entire pool by getting in here?
And people just crawling out like at the end of RoboCop.
Take a look at my face.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, anyhow, they're doing better. I was able to open my eyes this morning, so that's a good sign. And Dr. Mike gave me medicine, so.
He's a man.
You guys are cool. It's all good. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. Get into the bizarre file, because I do have some stories. In fact, I have... I think it's four, maybe even five bear stories. They just happened.
Another theme.
And I'm going to have to run through all of those because they're actually really good ones. So we'll get to those in a moment and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
A dinosaur pileup. Godsmack. Under your scars, I pray. The Struts.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by McGuff Bus Company. McGuff Bus Company is hiring. Earn industry top dollar. Get guaranteed hours, yearly raises, and monthly bonuses. Love where you work at McGuffBus.com. So a lot of bear stories happened the past couple of days. So let me get into these. Bears, first of all, don't know car etiquette. The Snowmass Village Police Department of Colorado is warning people to lock the doors of their unattended vehicles. A bear broke into a car and wreaked havoc. The police noted that the bear opened the vehicle's door, entered, and then the door closed behind the animal.
Better not go up here.
The bear, trapped inside, shredded the interior of the car.
Nice bucket seats.
And they also say that insurance usually does not cover this type of damage. So
now time to do my bear thing. Whip it up.
Out of luck.
They can destroy, I mean just gut a car.
All right, now this one, wildlife officials say that they're looking for the bear that attacked a 13-year-old boy at a campground in eastern Utah. Yeah, the State Division of Wildlife Resources said the teenager was sleeping at a campground along the Colorado River Friday morning when a bear approached him and bit his ear and cheek. Wow. The boy has
I drove in from Tennessee because I hot-barred a car.
The boy has been treated and released from the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Officials said they're still working to track down the bear. It'll be euthanized once it's caught.
I mean, if the fact that he got away with just that is pretty amazing.
Yeah, this is the second bear attack in Utah this summer. A bear was captured and killed in June after it scratched a boy camping in northern Utah.
For a bear, is that an equivalent of taking a candy, breaking it in half, tasting it, and not liking it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And by the way,
nah.
One of these stories is definitely a bizarre, I can't believe the guy survived story. But here's another one. All right, so authorities say... was that bear number two?
That's bear number two.
All right, so authorities say a sheriff's deputy was driving on Highway 96 answering a report of a drug overdose when a bear fell or jumped onto the car.
Whoa!
Apparently from a steep embankment. It was like a T.J. Hooker move. So yeah. Jumped on to the car from a steep embankment. The bear smashed the hood and windshield. The patrol car hit an embankment, rolled onto its side, and then burst into flames. The deputy
that was awesome.
The deputy managed to escape without serious injury.
I knew I could do it.
The fire was contained to about a half an acre, but the car was gutted.
Now I'm going
to
do a J-turn.
And the bear fled the scene on that one, so he got out of there.
The odds.
All right, how about this? A black bear broke into a Colorado house over the weekend and left by, according to the police, breaking through a wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid's here, bringing you fun.
So police say the break-in occurred Friday night and that the animal was likely attracted to garbage. A Facebook post by the police department said upon officer's arrival, said bear forcibly breached a hole in the wall like the Kool-Aid man and made its escape.
To go through a wall.
Yeah. Colorado Parks and Wildlife said bears entered over 35 vehicles and 9 residences in the Estes Park area in the 10 days before August 3rd. 35 this happened to 10 days before August 3rd.
I'm not bringing you Kool-Aid to drink. I'm going to drink your blood.
Residents were encouraged to close and lock the doors and windows of the homes.
I mean, anything that comes close to a bear interacting with humans where it's an aggressive thing, they're going to euthanize the bear. It's just the natural, you know, sadly.
Now, listen to this one. Is this the
fifth bear story?
Yeah, this is the fifth bear story, and this one's intense. This is the longest one. Colin Dowler might not be alive today if it weren't for a small pocket knife with a 2-inch blade and 5 forestry workers. A Canadian man was mountain biking on a logging road in the remote backcountry of British Columbia, north of Vancouver. He was exploring potential hiking routes, and he was headed back home after spending the night in the woods when he came around a bend and saw a grizzly bear.
Oh, Jesus.
They're huge. At that time, he didn't know that he would end up in a life or death struggle with the animal and that his luck would turn after the attack. So
this guy doesn't have a pocket knife.
He was hoping that, like most bears, it would prefer to avoid human contact and head back into the woods. He was about 100 feet from the bear, too close in my opinion, he told the BBC. As he was considering what to do, maybe ride away, cycle past the bear, or stay still, the animal kept walking toward him at what seemed a natural pace. Mr. Dowler took off his backpack and grabbed one of his hiking poles as, quote, some semblance of a deterrent.
Yeah.
And stepped off his bike to keep it between himself and the grizzly. He said, there was a point, I was scared the whole time, but I thought, man, it would be cool to catch this on video.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
The grizzly kept walking forward, parallel to the bike, until his rump had almost passed the rear wheel. He said, then it made a hard left turn and got behind him. But Mr. Dowler said at that point, he went from uncomfortable to wildly uncomfortable. So keeping his bike between him and the bear, he gave it a firm poke with the hiking pole.
You don't, isn't that the old, you don't poke the bear?
Which led to a brief tug of war. He remembers negotiating with the bear and he said, I know this is your territory. I'm just passing through. We don't have to do this.
Oh, you're so woke.
Yeah, right? So the grizzly kept coming at him with methodical heavy swats, and as those swats got heavier and stronger, Mr. Dowler threw his bike towards the bear.
This is a goddamn grizzly bear.
He said that's when it came for him, biting deep into his abdomen below his ribs.
This isn't working the way I'd planned.
He said it was so much pain and weirdness, I could feel the hot blood. I'm being ragdolled, suspended by my flank by a bear carrying
me. You're hot-blooded. Check it and see.
He said it dropped him near a ditch about 50 feet away and began taking deep bites into his thighs. He tried gouging at the bear's eyes and briefly playing dead. He then reached for a pocket knife in his right pants pocket. He said it was painful to do as he could hear the grating of bear teeth on bone. And went for the bear's neck. He said there was a rush of blood, and the bear let go and walked away from him back towards where it had come. So he got him in the neck, and the bear took off.
Dude, I didn't know you had a pocket knife.
Mr. Dowler...
That has a corkscrew in it.
Used the knife
and a tiny pair of scissors.
Cut off a shirt sleeve to use as a tourniquet around his wounded leg. He covered his bike, and he recovered his bike. And then he biked 4.5 miles to a logging camp.
You have to be freaking kidding.
Yeah, where he collapsed. He said that it that's where his luck turned.
He's been mauled by a bear and he rides his bike 4 miles?
Yeah, there were 5 men at the camp and all of them knew first aid. He said, they just went to work doing their best to save my life. They are truly the heroes of the story because there is no way that I could have made it without them. They also called an air ambulance and emergency workers gave him a likely life-saving blood transfusion before he was flown to Vancouver Hospital, where he is now slowly and painfully recovering from the attack.
Honestly. All right. So you repeat that same scenario. What would you have done? Wouldn't you have gotten the F out of there on your bike?
On the bike.
You're going to sit there let the bear, a grizzly bear, walk that close where you can poke it with a hiking pole?
I wonder if you got a good chance to get away on a bike.
I mean, they run fast. Yeah. But at least you'd have a chance. You don't do a do-si-do with a bear.
Conservation officers tracked the bear in the woods, and it was put down. And they said that they are confident that it was the same bear that attacked Mr. Dowler because it had a knife wound in its neck.
This is because of the guy in the bike.
Yes.
Honestly.
I mean, really, he shouldn't have poked you with a stick.
I should have totally eaten that pussy.
Yeah. All right, so, that's first time ever. An all-bear bizarre fight.
I snuck that in there.
Yeah.
And that
shouldn't
is
we all?
What I have for you in the B-file. So, there is something coming up. Is that this weekend, Casey? Saturday. Yeah. Marissa is headed to the PA Ren Fair for the first time.
This is very exciting, because I know you've been. Has everybody here been to
there? I have not.
What I originally had thought it was and what it turned out to be, entirely different. So much more fun and cool.
Yep. So Marissa's never been. She's always wanted to go. Wow, I've done something Marissa's never done. That's
Well, you live in the burbs.
So that's true. It's close to the sticks, which is where this is. But if you would like to go, not only to get tickets to go to the event, but bus transportation from WMMR, if you would like that. So we'll take callers 10 and 11. At 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, you can celebrate Her Majesty's Coronation Day Saturdays and Sundays at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair right off Turnpike exit 266. Discount tickets at PARenFair.com. So callers 10 and 11, and you will get to experience the Ren Fair and get to experience Marissa experiencing the PA Ren Fair.
Love it.
We will take a break and come back in just a moment. We got very cool things for you to win today. I'll get you more of the details when we return. And don't forget, Belly Flop Championship Thursday, Valley Forge Casino Resort at their poolside club. Be there with us. It starts at 6 p.m. Doors open at 5. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, today we're enjoying some hoagies from Reen's Deli and Catering, serving generations of families in Northeast Philly for over five decades. You can swing by and try their signature hoagie, the Cornaglia.
The Cornaglia?
I got to make sure, am I saying that right? The Cornaglia?
Well, those guys are from Marinucci's.
Oh, Marinucci's. Now, they brought in a bunch of stuff as well. They put the Addie's Hot Chicken.
Now, that's a name you can pronounce.
But I have not tried the Cornaglia yet, which has Dietz and Watson peppered ham, prosciutto, amcola, Genoa salami, provolone, lettuce, tomato, onion, roasted peppers, and long hots on a seeded roll.
It's a hell of a spread out there.
So thank you, guys. We appreciate you bringing all that stuff by here this morning. We wanted to double back to a story we had in the entertainment report this morning. Miley Cyrus and what's-his-face?
Liam Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth. I keep wanting to say Chris Hemsworth. And Liam Hemsworth broke it off. They're married less than 8 months. They've been together for like a decade off and on. But, like, I mean, fresh off of this, she is posting pictures of her making out with this girl. The girl is Caitlin Carter. She used to be married to Brody Jenner. Okay.
So they just broke up. Brody Jenner and this Caitlin just broke up.
Yeah.
They were married, and Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth just broke up. They were married, and now the two women are obviously a thing with each other.
Yeah, so that's the word anyway. I don't know if they're making it up or what it might be. But, you know, it seems to be that they're kind of flaunting this and having fun with this right after they both break up. Whether it's real or not remains to be seen, but we'll see that in a moment. But, you know, could Miley have left Liam for a woman that she was, you know, hot for and now is jumping right into bed? Yeah.
And I'll tell you why I think so. It's because she laid the groundwork for that a while ago by coming out against there was an interview and saying that she was very fluid in her sex. She's pansexual, she says.
Okay. All right. So, and that poses the question, and I'm sure that there are people listening, and you had mentioned this to me, Steve.
Yes.
Does it lessen the blow any if your wife, girlfriend, significant, or whatever left you for a woman as opposed to a man?
This was a discussion that was occurring on, and you saw it online and on different. And it's, listen, we live in a very interesting, there's menu options for everyone. But I thought about it. What do you think?
No, probably not. Now, listen, I also, there's the question, if you're a woman and your husband, boyfriend, fiance, whatever, left you for a man as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, that's happened in my family.
Has it?
Yeah. My aunt was married to a man and she caught him cheating. So he was on the DL. He was on the DL.
Yes. Okay.
So he married her and was living this other life behind her back, and she busted him in bed with another man. That didn't go down so well.
Right. Or maybe it did, and that was a problem.
Yeah. But, I think somebody's leaving you, they're leaving you. But is it, do you have that same anger, jealousy thing that especially us men are known to get if, you know, you get really, really angry, not only, you know, the stereotypical thing is you want to go fight the guy that took your girl away.
Right. Why,
you
know, I oughta.
And that whole thing.
But here's where I think.
Maybe it's a little different.
And I heard this come up a couple of times. Saw it as people were responding online in comments and so on and so forth, is that in that case, you don't have those tools in your shed.
Right.
So there's nothing. In other words, you're it's not on an even playing field. You can't bring that to the game.
Right.
So you're not losing. You know, of course, we tend to remove feelings of just basic love. We always say, well, it's, you know, this person can only get from this person something that I can't offer.
So are you saying that there would be less in the back of your mind of, well, this dude is nailing my girl.
Right.
And maybe he's better than I am.
He's better than I am.
And if it's her, if it's a girl, then that's just totally different.
I can't compete. Yeah. So you can sort of throw your hands up and go, well, folks.
Yeah, well, that's
whether that's right or not.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, listen, I think it's up for the individual to decide, you know, and I think if this were the case, if my wife were to leave me for a woman, I think it would be easier to swallow than if she left me for another guy.
Would it be?
I think it would. For that very reason. For that very reason, because it's like, well, she's getting something that I just can't give to her.
That's what I'm thinking a little bit of that, and judging by responses, you know, listen, the one thing that I've heard this said, you know, the what would hurt the most is if someone, I think, leaves you because they're absolutely in love with someone else, where they don't love you as much as they love someone else. Right. That's going to hurt regardless. But still, there's that element of there was something I couldn't provide that I could never provide because I'm not that.
Have you ever had your heart like straight up broken?
Oh, yeah.
So I have as well. So I think I'm just because of that, like I'm a little bit more, I don't know if pragmatic is the actual word for it, but just because my heart was broken and it like took a long time for me to like come around and you know, it was like a lot of jealousy. And then, like I felt bad about myself. Like I wasn't good enough for anybody or anything like that, you know? So, you know, I had to work on myself a little bit more. So I think at this point in my life, it would be like, okay, well, it's just something, I'm just not the right fit right now.
Were you doing some Stuart Smalley work sitting there in the mirror?
Not quite, but pretty close to it because you know, you're sort of left like, God, man, I'm a terrible human being. Like, I'm just not good enough for...
I know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you don't do any reflection after a breakup, then you're a pretty shallow person, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to this question, if you're not... It really depends on what you're thinking with. If you're thinking with your heart... It hurts no matter what, right? It's going to break your heart no matter what.
If you're
thinking with your ego, I think that starts to play with the gender politics, with the gay versus straight, you know. And so for Liam Hemsworth, I don't think it lessens the blow at all that Miley's with a woman.
He seems like blown out. I mean, because regardless of the deal, but I'm just, it's just a conversation that came up, and I saw it popping up in different comment sections. Does it make it? Can you justify it a little bit more by saying, I was never gonna be what she wanted because she wanted another woman?
You can rationalize a little bit more, but I don't think it softens the blow to your heart at all.
No,
it depends. Yeah, let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, Brian. What's up, man?
Hey, look, so lost my virginity when I was 14.
Well,
all right. And the girl that I lost it to, a couple months later, she decided that she was going to be with a woman when I asked her why. Now, I tell everybody this story, but when I asked her why, straight up told me it's because I made her not like guys.
Oh! So she really considered your feelings.
Oh, my God!
Jesus Christ. That's horrible.
Dude,
and you're 14!
Was she the same age?
So she was 16. Okay. I was 14.
Yeah.
And I don't get it either, because the woman I'm with now, completely satisfied.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
you miserable excuse for a man.
Well, I think she just didn't like guys, tried it, and was like...
Yeah. I think it's more to that. Casey.
That was it. It would have been any guy.
I think she probably was already on the fence and was like, well, let me try this thing out here, you know? And,
but here's the crazy thing.
What a disappointment.
So she had already been with a guy for like a year. They broke it off. She came with me. I lost my virginity to her.
Maybe she didn't. Sorry.
No moss. No moss. That was the response I got. No more. And a couple months later, she was with the girl she's with now.
So here's the deal. Do you ever get like a bag of chips that you've never, a flavor you've never tried, and you have one, and you have the second one? It's the fourth or fifth one that makes you go, I don't think I like it.
I don't like it. Yeah.
I think you were the fifth chip.
You didn't turn her gay. I mean, no.
She was you were the fifth chip, and that's it. You were not going to win.
Thanks,
no matter what you did.
I wonder if in this day and age of sexual identity, which is definitely broadened, or people are more open about its broad senses, if that would matter as much either way, depending on the gender of the person.
It's funny because it comes into play regardless. You get your heart broken, you get your heart broken.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like, you know, I think being able to throw up there, well, there was nothing I could do.
Yeah.
I'm not that. And that, as Nick was saying, that does provide for the ego a little bit of an out.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
You know, let's go to Tony. Hey, Tony, good morning.
So sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's quite all right, sir. What's up?
So you guys are speaking directly to me. I was in a situation where my wife reconnected with an old friend, and I found out about it, and I went after the guy. So I, you know, I am the stereotypical male that, you know, goes berserk and goes after the guy. Police were called. It didn't amount to anything. I think because it was a male, I think it's more severe because, you know, it speaks to your manhood.
Okay.
It speaks to your, you know, sexually, financially, you know.
Yeah.
You just start doubting yourself.
And you're being honest, Tony. I mean, listen, even the best of us can, you know, it's a hit you take, and it makes you, you know, when you have to sit there and go, am I worth anything? Like, you know, when your heart's broken, reason kind of goes out the window.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks for your call, by the way, Tony. Yeah. I remember one time I was seeing this girl and I was bored with it.
Yeah.
And was ready to move on.
You'd passed all your classes.
I'd even strayed. Yeah. She'd done all my exams for me. No, but while we were kind of still seeing each other, she started seeing this other guy and I found out about it.
Yeah.
And I got really mad. I got really pissed off.
Even though
I was done.
You were getting ready to.
Yeah. And it took me a little while to realize, what are you getting so mad about, you freaking hypocrite?
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, I think we're kind of programmed. Maybe not hardwired, but maybe it's a learned reaction.
It comes from centuries of the way, you know, the way the species perpetuates, yeah. And that's part of the deal. But I'll say this: I'll say that you know, it's the oldest trick in the book too. You know, you want someone back, you have them see you with someone else, and then you know that's the old. It rarely does that work the way you want it to,
right.
But it is.
But it's like a kid that's done playing with a toy, and then another kid picks that toy up.
They suddenly want that toy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will go next to Nick. Hi, Nick. You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, man.
What's up?
All right. So I got a hell of a story.
All right.
So me and this girl were dating for 3 years, and all of a sudden, yeah, she broke it off with me. It was real bad. But I'd found out through my sister-in-law that she was messing around with this friend of hers. It was supposed to be just a friend. And I was like, oh, it hit me, you know, just out of nowhere, left field. And then I found out she was actually having three ways with another girl from work who my sister-in-law was able to, like, see some of the stuff going on at work. And then it just left me dumbfounded. But honestly, I kind of just felt, you know, the same as if, you know, she's only with anybody else.
So if it doesn't matter, had it been a guy, or you're saying that it doesn't matter, it just hurts regardless, and it's not softened by the fact that she perhaps prefers to be with women.
Nah, it's the same feeling, but at the same time, you had that kind of comfort of like, you know, well, I can't do anything.
So then it does help a little bit.
But then, Nick, when it went from her cheating on you with a girl to having three ways with a girl, did you get a little turned on after that?
I wouldn't say that. No.
Okay.
So it was a three girl
party.
Yeah. It was actually a dude. But
okay, that's what
there you go. Okay. See, that's a problem.
Yeah,
then.
That hurts.
That now you're entering into Marv Albert territory.
Because if it was three girls, then you know, just ask Gary Lauer. There's nothing more beautiful than a
daisy chain.
Yeah.
It's
what you call a bowling ball party.
That's what Gary calls that daisy chain.
It's beautiful. And you know,
the beautiful thing in the world.
Gary's a noted sex therapist.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we could work on some of his issues.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Yeah. Listen,
Dr. Lauer.
That last call. Of course, dude. When your girlfriend of 3 years is involved in a three-way with another dude,
and you didn't invite me,
and so that was a part of the menu. Was that the secret menu this whole time?
I'm sorry, Gordon, there wasn't enough room for you. Wait, you have 12 people in this thing. That's being left out. If it had, I have a feeling though, had it been, just been three with all women, as he said, it softened it just a bit. Doesn't hurt that much less, but just a bit.
And I think as a guy, you can say, yeah, if it was a girl, it would hurt less, until it actually happens to you. And then you're like, this doesn't really hurt less.
If you're in love and somebody leaves you, it would suck no matter what.
Sorry, I took your girlfriend.
Let me go to.
That would be a whole different story.
What? I took your girlfriend. And I might even sleep with your mother. Be the first decathlete she ever had.
Let me go to Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. You're on the air.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Rebecca?
Hi, I was actually with my ex-boyfriend for 8 years, and he actually left me for another man.
Okay. Were there any indicators whatsoever that,
none.
Okay. All right. So totally out of the blue.
Not.
Yeah.
Out of the blue. And I think what hurt most is that we were together for 8 years. I think that's what Liam's going through. Like, you know, you've been with this chick for 10 years and you had no idea.
Let me ask you, Rebecca, because Miley Cyrus, I think, has always sort of been sort of open about a little aspects of that. But I think that also the fact that she is being so brazen in public, it's with someone else, regardless. It was right. With the guy or whatever. She's not giving a pause for concern, I think, and showing respect for their relationship.
Now, it makes me wonder if there was something going on there where she's like, you know what? This is just a giant F you to him for something he did.
It's quite possible. We don't know.
By the way, if you remember when Miley was with Joan Jett for the induction of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, she said on stage that Joan Jett made her realize that she could bang a woman.
Yeah.
So she's flirted with this information.
It's not like she's kept it close to the vest.
Yeah, and that was years ago.
And like we said earlier, she's posting it all over Instagram. Like everything that she's doing, she's doing out in public. And like no matter what, like that hurts. Because you know that I don't care how famous you are, Liam is stalking her Instagram page.
Well, you have to realize you're giving up Thor as your brother-in-law.
Yes. That guy's a god.
Yeah.
Here's a text that says, I'm a female, met a woman, fell in love, got married, and after 6 years marriage, she started to sleep around with multiple men. No explanation, just said, I'm straight.
Hmm.
Wow. Okay.
So I remember this story. Remember Anne Heche and Ellen DeGeneres used to be together for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then Anne Heche left and married a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget, there was a term that was used.
Lipstick lesbian?
No. Basically a heartbreaker who dabbles and then switches.
And then goes back.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of that does fall under the pansexuality umbrella, which is you can be attracted to anybody. You can be attracted to a woman. You can be attracted to a man who identifies as a woman or a woman who identifies as a man.
I'm pansexual. I don't stick to surfaces.
Pam.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we have a friend who we met her. She was a lesbian. She got then married a guy and is now, I think, getting divorced and going back.
Yeah. The whole idea behind that is you fall in love with the person, not necessarily their sexual orientation.
Yeah.
Let me go to our buddy Ra is on the air. Hey, Ra, good morning, man.
not bad.
Doing the scat man.
Not bad.
What's up, bud?
What's going on? I've been through that in a sense, left for. I haven't had a woman leave me for another woman, but, you know, pretty much Miley's gender fluidity has been known for a while.
Yeah. So
if Liam didn't know it, then he's been under a rock. But the whole thing is, once somebody already lets you know that they're into, the same sex or whatever, if they leave you for the same sex, I don't think it's as shocking or as hard. But you know what the funny thing is? That's her hurt that she's displaying with the whole posting up her, you know.
That's her hurt, you're saying?
Yeah, because she's trying to show him, like, I've moved on or whatever, or, you know, whatever. And what's so funny is he can't do the same thing back, really. You know,
if I were him, I would start humping every guy around, if I'm not even remotely gay. No. And in fact, actually, Brody Jenner, I don't know if you heard about this, Rod, joked about it, who's the ex of this Caitlyn that Miley Cyrus has been seen around with. And he said, you know, jokingly posted, wait for the pictures of me and Liam on the beach together. I think he was kind of approaching it lightly, trying to diffuse a little bit, but she wasn't too thrilled with that.
Yeah. But they say in Hollywood, too, you know, the whole thing about these stars, these famous people with all this energy and all this talent, you know, it's so hard for people to stay in a committed relationship anyway because everybody's so fantastic. You know what I'm saying? So you always meet somebody that thrills you, and then you get tired of the thrill once you get the normal them. And so they keep, you know, they constantly move on. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah, you know, I think the best thing, a lot of times these cases are the best when they sort of, like, remove themselves one level or two levels from Hollywood, from that stuff.
Right.
You look at, like, long-term relationships that have lasted or whatever, you know. But you know,
you have to find a nice haberdasher.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Roth.
A blacksmith.
Right. Appreciate it, man. it's interesting. You know, it's funny that he said that it's her. What did he say? Her hurt.
Yeah,
that she's showing. Kind of. I mean, yeah. What's the point of going on and?
I mean, unless Casey's point, Liam Hemsworth doesn't. I have a very particular skin. My wife left me for a little while, and I'm not happy. Liam Hemsworth doesn't impress me as a kind of like he seems like a nice guy or regular. You don't know what's going on, but if it's a abusive or whatever, I can't imagine that.
So he wrote this. I mean, he just posted this a few hours ago. He hadn't said anything, and he still continues not to really say anything. But he did make a public statement that says, "This is a private matter, and I have not made nor will I be making any comments to any journalists or any media outlets." So he's taking the high road.
Yeah,
and she's flashing herself in a bikini all over Italy, you know, and she's doing it for the attention, and he's going inside. He's becoming an introvert.
Yeah. It's funny to watch how this type of thing plays out now
after
on social media, how ridiculous it is.
After a breakup, so let's take you in your youth with the social media environment now.
Oh my God.
How would you have handled breakups?
God.
Would you have taken to Instagram immediately and blasted out your emotions?
At an age in my teens and 20s?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I might have as well.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I haven't thought about it from that perspective.
Probably kept us out of prison.
But now I look at it and I'm going, this is just dumb. This is ridiculous, you know. But maybe it's similar to in days before this of gossip and starting rumors about somebody else or saying, you know, or pretending that you're doing something that you weren't really. And word will get back to via the, you know, phone tree or, you know, just the gossip
line. Today's world of actually still speaking to them.
It's less of an impact when you say my wife left me for another woman in Morse code, you know.
Right.
You know, 200 years ago.
Man. But, she's really flaunting it.
Big time.
Yeah. So I'm curious if she really liked this chick or not.
Or if it's just they're friends.
Or if they're both putting on a show, like this is kind of me being Casey, putting on my Casey conspiracy hat. Maybe these two are just like, you know, you broke up with him.
Let's give him something to talk about.
Let's really crank
a little
it up
mystery to figure
play
out.
Yeah.
exactly.
Nice.
Well, they know the cameras are on them. I mean, they're always aware that the paparazzi are around, so they know they're being photographed. So, I'm sure that conversation takes place of let's give them something to see.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're looking at a picture here that we're seeing more than their gynecologists have seen.
The crotches. Is that them?
Yeah, that's them. Yeah.
Is the girl on the left Caitlin Carter?
Yeah, but not the one you're talking about.
Okay. No. Yeah. And that's... we see more directly into the crotch of Miley Cyrus in this particular picture.
It's just, I don't know. Okay. That's how you show you're hurt, I guess.
I guess so. Wow. All right. Well, anyhow, we'll see what happens with these
lovebirds.
Fine folks, these wonderful lovebirds, and whether or not they're going to go the distance or not. But, you know, that's an interesting question, Steve, how I would have handled that dating years.
We had built in, like, you know, when you go bowling and you're a little kid and they put those bumpers up, you know, that's what we had. We had a little bit more mistakes. We could avoid mistakes quicker.
Right.
Or we could avoid mistakes by letting things curate a little bit or have a little bit of time before we went to do something brash or like posting a picture or videos like this online and regretting it.
By the way, Nick had found an article. Can you pull that back up? It was called Lesbian Until Graduation.
Oh, yeah, lugs.
Lugs.
Yeah, and so there are two terms, Steve. I think you were referring to either the lug, the lesbian until graduation, which happens in college a lot, or the has-been, which is somebody who was gay for a stretch. And
I think that's it. Okay. Yeah.
And then gug, which is gay until graduation. I'm a gug.
Yeah, I'm going to go away to school, be a gug, and then I'll graduate.
Yeah, these are LGBT slang terms, and they're used to describe women, primarily of high school or college age, who are assumed to be experimenting with adopting a temporary lesbian or bisexual identity. The term suggested the women to whom this is applied will ultimately adopt a strictly heterosexual identity.
Is it easier for a woman, like a girl going away to college, to casually flirt with crossing over.
I think so.
Than a guy to say.
Yeah, you know why? Because it starts with them getting free drinks at the bar by kissing and, hey, let's do this. And then, you know what? That felt kind of
good.
Did
you ever do that with a guy to get free drinks?
Of course.
Yeah. Jesus, man. Lou, I'm going to stick my tongue down your throat. I want to get a, beer.
Yeah. But I think even if, like, you were level-headed about it and you say, okay, you know, clearly I'm not giving this person what they need, there's still a bit of controversy with it that you have not invited into your life. And so that part probably stinks, especially if you were married or had kids or anything along those lines. Then it's like, did you hear? And then now all of a sudden you're part of the gossip and you know you're part of the gossip.
And collateral damage.
Yep.
Kathy, did you ever kiss another girl to get free drinks?
No, we never did that.
You want to try?
That was like before my time. People didn't, you know, that wasn't like a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, not until like after college.
Oh, I knew some lugs. I there were definitely girls in my college, and they were in a sorority called Pi Phi, but everybody called them Bi Phi.
Okay.
And they would. Really? Oh my God! Yeah,
that was their deal.
They would totally do it, and they would. And, you know, you would get the sense that some of them were doing it for attention and free drinks, and some of them were seriously considering experimenting.
Okay.
It's life's menu, and they're deciding what they like, and they're having a little. A little cheese plate.
My roommate in college and I had a joke. She said, I love you to death, but if you try to kiss me, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Wow.
Would you make out with another woman for a Dietz and Watson hoagie?
Yes.
Because we can hook you up.
Yeah, we're good like that. All right. Interesting stuff. Thanks for your phone calls. We appreciate it. We're just checking on how this all relates to everybody.
It's a wellness check on Miley.
We do have a couple of things you need to be aware of. We have your opportunity to win. First of all, we'll start with this. Avengers Endgame.
Love this music.
I do too. This part of it.
Yeah.
We have your chance to win all of this stuff, okay? So you can get the limited edition Avengers Assembled Steelbook, all four Avengers films on digital, 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and Blu-ray, and a $1,000 Best Buy gift card. How do you do it? You have to solve the emoji code. And the emoji code is up right now at PrestonSteve.com. Casey has come up with the series of emojis that create a phrase, a word, whatever it is that's there. Crack the code. Hang on to what that is, because in a little while we'll ask you to call and be a designated caller. And if you are and you do, then you win all that stuff I mentioned. So get on it now. Limited edition Avengers Endgame Steelbook, by the way, is only sold at Best Buy stores and on BestBuy.com. And Avengers Endgame is now available on digital and Blu-ray. So we have that. We also have Tuesday, your chance to win a Preston and Steve tattoo courtesy of world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. And that's easy. Just text the word tattoo to 39333. And we'll pick a winner a little bit later on. Then you head to Philadelphia, the 621 South 4th Street in South Philly, and you can get tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like Kyle Fitzpatrick. See his work on Instagram at Kyle_Fitzpatrick_ or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay close.
Here we go.
Here comes the MMRD.
What's going on?
Join Brent Porce Thursday from 5 to 7 at the Exton Red Robin. They're celebrating 20 years with 1990s throwback prices on select menu items and different levels of fun each day this week. A portion of sales will be donated to the Lionville Volunteer Fire Company. Thursday from 6 to 8, it's Preston and Steve's Belly Flop Championship 2019 Battle of the Sexes at Valley Beach Poolside Club at Valley Forge Casino Resort. Admissions free for spectators 21 and up. Enjoy a dip in the pool plus drink specials, including beer buckets and belly flop jello shots. Valley Forge Casino Resort, Philly's only resort casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Belly Flop is on Thursday, man. It's the big party, and it's a rescheduled date, and hopefully you will be able to join us Thursday at Valley Forge Casino Resort and the pool, this awesome tropical little oasis they have right there next to the resort, and we are expecting everybody to be there and ready for a good time, because it's, number one, it's free of charge.
Free of charge makes it a big enticement.
Doors open at 5. You just have to be at least 21, and we've got all our floppers on board and ready to make it happen.
It's going to be warm, but not oppressive.
Yeah.
Maybe a passing something, but nothing. Right now they're saying, mostly pretty good for the belly flop.
Normally, it's like 95 degrees.
Horrible.
When we do this.
But you're
the
in a pool.
Sun is beating down. But,
so it's all right.
But this is like, it's going to be like mid-80s. It's going to be really enjoyable.
And if your friends text me and say, hey, can you hook me up with tickets? I don't need to. You
come
know,
on
it's
now.
Free. It's open to the public. Yeah. So I think some people think you got to pay your way in or whatever. Nope. Open to everybody.
Yep. We got some friends coming out. Should be a damn good time. So make sure you come and join us. Even if you only stop by for like a half hour or whatever, it's free. Park, come in. Check it out. Or if you want to make the full day of it, come to our event and then go gamble afterwards in the casino.
Yeah, bring your bathing suit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something you can actually be in the pool for.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, thank you to Dietz and Watson. By the way, if you're up in the Northeast, make sure you swing by Reen's Deli for their Cornaglia or Marinucci's for Addie's Hot Chicken. The hometown homemade favorites are made Dietz and Watson by are made Dietz and Watson premium meats and artisan cheeses from. check out more.
Yoda wrote this copy.
It from. Sounded real Dietz up Watson until that point. From. Check out more featured delis in the Dietz and Watson Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. So there you go. Wanted to pass that along. All right. So Casey posted a photo on his Instagram account. You probably did. On Twitter. I haven't gone on Twitter lately, but you put it on.
You know what?
Too?
Because I thought it was such a good debate that I put it on all my social media.
All right,
so
there
Twitter,
you go.
Instagram, Facebook, all of that stuff.
So
you grabbed it, you twatted it, you did the whole thing.
You were where? Yeah. You were where?
I was in Wildwood, by the way.
All right.
Oh, this is down. Sorry.
All right, what were you at a theme park, an amusement park, or what?
Yeah, so I was just outside of Maurice Pier, the one that closest to North Wildwood. By the way, that's where the runaway tram car roller coaster
How
is.
How are you digging it?
Well, first of all, it's open. I thought I was supposed to be the first one to ride it, and they opened it. I rode it, by the way, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a smooth ride. It's family friendly, good for kids, all that sort of stuff. But it's first
means something different out of the shore.
maybe. But so we were sitting outside of Maurice Pier, and there was a series of stores across the boardwalk, and they had one of those like sledgehammer ring the bell games.
Yes,
strongman.
Yes. So it was and it was a big one. It went really, really high up, and they have it numbered, but in between each number, they have, like, at the very, very bottom, it says, like, Namsy Pamsy and, stuff like that. And the higher you go up, it's like Mighty Mouse and then,
superheroes.
Like, superheroes and stronger things.
Okay.
And I'm
halfway up, it says Mitt Romney.
Which I was like, Mitt Romney?
Mitt Romney.
Above Iron Man? Well, so that was the debate we ended up having. And we were there for a while, and this was really, really good for the kids, but also good for the adults as well.
All right, so let me read off these names, Case, from the photo you took. I know there's more in the picture. You couldn't fit any more in this.
Right.
But here's the order from weakest to strongest on the way up. Okay, so what I can see on here is Supergirl, then Iron Man, then Wonder Woman, then Captain America, then Hulk, Thanos, then Black Panther, Thor after him, then Captain Marvel, and then above that is Superman.
Yeah, and then
like the order?
They're way out of order.
Massive missteps here.
Way out of order.
And so just so you know, just below Supergirl goes Hercules, Wolverine, and then under Wolverine, Godzilla. And I was like, wow, Godzilla, that's a...
Is it because he doesn't have opposable thumbs?
Well, I mean, if you stepped on it.
Well, I think do we consider Godzilla a superhero?
Well,
no, but he said they had some other things on there.
Hercules isn't a superhero either, and Mitt Romney,
Romney's not.
Yeah. He's a governor.
And Emeril Lagasse, I thought was a weird choice.
Bam!
Yeah, bam! Yeah.
Ding!
The first thing that struck me was Hulk in the middle of these.
No.
Yeah.
Because Hulk is brute strength and like over the top brute strength.
And what a lot of people forget is, and I know Kathy, you brought this up as well, is that the Hulk's power is scalable to whatever foe he's facing.
Right. And then I also had another question for you, Steve, because you know a lot about this stuff, but aren't Superman and Supergirl like kind of the same?
Essentially, yes. Now, however, who is stronger of the two? Well, then you'd get into, I guess, by that reckoning, their size. And what they, so Superman's probably stronger than Supergirl.
Yeah, and by the way,
I mean they're like they're definitely possess
right
very similar capabilities.
Now Thanos is on this list as well, and so there was actually a great debate on my Facebook page about, well, does Thanos have the Infinity Gauntlet? And well, I'm like, well, if you're talking the Infinity Gauntlet, then why isn't anybody? What about Superman with the Infinity Gauntlet? You know, even though there's two different universes there, but still,
how strong is Black Panther? I'm sorry,
he's not. I thought he was as strong as Captain America.
So he's on that level. He's imbued with extra strength, obviously, and then he has all of the tech. So he's up there. I would put Captain America tends to float. He can do some incredible things. It's the thing that they sort of juxtapose back and forth. Like, wow, I didn't know he could take that.
He could wield the hammer.
Right. So there you go. So he just means he's worthy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You have to be worthy to wield the hammer. If you're talking about, and this is a strongman contest.
Yeah.
If you go to this, who literally just strength. Hmm. That's all there is to it. Not what they can do right. magically and all yes. this. Is take the hammer.
And bring it down.
Hit the thing and shoot the little knobby thing up in the air and hits the bell.
Past Mitt Romney, Hulk.
Would we agree that Superman belongs at the very top?
I think so.
I think so.
Of all of the things that they have shown throughout the comics and the movies. And, I mean, dude, he freaking spun the world around.
Well,
you know, backwards, so time would go back.
Shazam, as well, isn't Shazam pretty much...
He's up there.
On a level with Superman.
With Superman, yeah.
Shazam wasn't on here. You know who was on
here? B. Arthur.
B. Arthur was not on there. You believe that?
If she takes a hit of Premarin,
yes.
which is made from horse urine, she has incredible strength.
She was the toughest
strength.
Of the Golden Girls, she by the way.
Definitely
far.
Was.
Clearly.
But also on
you
this thing.
That last episode, Endgame?
Yeah.
Also on this thing that I couldn't fit in the picture was Deadpool. I'm like... Deadpool's not like super strong. He's just
right.
He's
indestructible. Like,
right.
You know.
Right.
You know. Like Juggernaut's not on there. Colossus isn't on there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think Superman. Obviously, you have that. You have that at the top.
Yeah.
What about Captain Marvel? Does she belong all the way up there?
Captain Marvel's way up there. Though I just found out
that was a chick. I didn't know that. Not here.
Like, Kathy's in here.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Well, Captain Shazam. Captain Marvel was. There were two Captain Marvels,
right?
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So Captain Marvel
was Captain Marvel. Was Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you lost me.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I know.
Oh, it's crazy. I was going to say, I was at a breakfast. No, I was at a breakfast, and they had it was superheroes, and I was like, is Captain Marvel always a girl, or what happened here?
It's hard to explain. It could be explained by someone better than I.
No,
but
it's
there
fine.
Been a
I don't
couple
want an
of different
explanation.
Versions. In the movie,
no.
She's a girl. This is for you, bitch.
I don't care. The movie. I'm just saying I didn't know she was a girl. I don't need an explanation. I don't care. I'm not
trying to make
listen.
It easy for you, but go back to the
I'm
shoes.
I'm not going to listen.
Okay.
But at the top, Steve, and this is in no particular order, but you would have to put... Superman and Hulk and Thor would be up there, right?
I think Thor is a god. Thor is a god.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, I think, wielding that hammer.
It would have to be Superman, Supergirl.
By the way, the hammer has the power of like a planet, right? So that's always been the legend. I mean, like you see him hit people with the hammer, you know, by the power of it, they should vaporize. I mean, if we're talking science.
But but let's say he's not allowed to use that hammer.
Right,
he's not allowed to use like a craftsman
hammer.
Yeah. Well, he has to use the one that's at Maury's Pier.
A mallet.
Yeah. He's not. You're not allowed to use Mjolnir because nobody else is allowed.
Yeah.
Except for Captain America.
Hey, put that Mjolnir down there.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Get the back of the line. Hey, pretty boy.
Let me see here.
Put that mom and dad down there.
Tech says, Captain Marvel is hella strong.
Yeah.
She can take out so many of them.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
That's cool. But I think in the broad scheme of things, Superman.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think the biggest mistake is Black Panther as high as he is.
Agreed. That's the one that made me raise my eyebrow and go,
great fighter.
Yeah.
Incredible capabilities.
Very strong.
Awesome suit.
But not stronger than Hulk. Without question, not stronger than Hulk. And that's in there. And maybe we could switch those two and it will work. But I don't
this
know.
Thing needs to be re... Canoinkered.
I sent the entire thing, and honestly,
to the Pentagon.
I sent it to Mitt Romney first. I sent it to him first. I figure if I can get it into the Pentagon, it will be Through him.
Through him.
Dear yes. Mitt Romney. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not, I wonder why B. Arthur is on this.
All right. Well, anyhow, Case, I think you're correct that there's, it needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna solve the problem right now, but
let's work on the Middle East first.
Yeah, we'll get to that and then we'll get to this.
And what it looks like is that these things can be taken off of the little scale thing, so
they look professionally embossed.
Yes. So maybe, you know what? When I go back down there, I'll just grab a ladder and I'll just do it myself.
Okay. I have a follow-up story to pass along to you guys. I almost feel like starting a new segment called This Just In. Case you have the not breaking news,
sorry,
but the you know, the one with the Morse code and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, I could totally do that
because we use the breaking news for legitimate breaking news from time to time,
so to speak.
Yeah, not so always, but right. Yep. There we go. This just in, follow up story. Shy Wertz, the quarterback at South Carolina. Remember I told you guys about him? He got pulled over.
Yes.
And they found a foreign white substance on the hood of his car. He said it was dog poop, or not dog poop.
Bird poop?
Dog poop will turn white, though.
Eventually.
It will, but...
He said it was bird poop, and so they arrested him. Turns out, was bird poop.
Oh, wow.
Good. I'm glad.
Really?
In the video, you can see the cops paying close attention to the hood of his car, shining a flashlight on the area, allegedly discovering a foreign white substance on it. And that's when an officer walks back up to the patrol car to question Wertz, asking, what's the white stuff on the front of your hood, man? Wertz immediately responds, bird S. And the officer doesn't believe him, saying that repeatedly that the substance looks nothing like bird poop. And instead, he tells Wertz, test results indicate that it was a controlled substance. This is the cop saying this. He says, I swear to God it's not bird poop because I just tested it and it turned pink. So he did like a field test.
Right.
And
was he using the bird kit by accident?
I don't know. He insisted over and over that it was bird poop, but the cop clearly doesn't believe him, with the officer eventually telling him it tested positive for cocaine. Wertz was charged with misdemeanor cocaine possession and speeding, and he was also suspended from GSU team activities after the arrest.
Yes, I'm interested in GSU activities.
So it's Georgia Southern. I'm sorry. I thought it was South Carolina. Georgia Southern. But prosecutors announced late Thursday that they were dropping the charges.
There you go.
Admitting the substance on Wertz's car was not cocaine.
Now they're going to arrest the bird?
I don't know about that.
Right is right. We were all sort of, well, we're looking at it. By the way, we're looking at that. That's a bizarre cocaine pattern if you were sniffing coke off the hood of your car.
Yeah.
Or no, I think he was like, they thought maybe he was trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, I might have thrown it
because
out.
Because if you remember, he didn't, like, he got pulled over and he didn't pull over right away. Like, he went to go.
He wanted like a lit area or a safe area. Right. Or
he threw
like
the bird out
over.
Of the car.
Yeah, so, immediately, that may have raised suspicion, you know?
Yeah.
So the solicitor's office has begun expungement process to have the charge removed from the system to ensure that this arrest and charge does not create a criminal history for Wertz.
Wow. They followed through, and that's pretty wild. How much cajoling did they have to do to get them to re-examine the
That's a good
the
question.
Sample.
Man, you guys remember a story a while back of a dude that was arrested and held for quite, like, months.
Yeah, and then the bird came forward.
No, it was, you know what it was? It was the sugar off of a Krispy Kreme donut.
Yes,
and
I remember this. It was all over, like, the fine powder.
And they thought it wasn't fine powder, it was like rocks. They thought it was crack cocaine.
Yeah.
And I guess they did a field test and it came up. I guess it showed positive or something like that. And then they just stalled to do another test. They held it in evidence.
Yeah.
And this dude stayed in jail. I guess he did. He couldn't afford bail or they couldn't get him out or whatever. And it turned out, sure enough, man, it was sugar. But you're right. They, you know, dude, check it again.
Check it again.
Please. I'm telling you. So he's been,
that's why I suggest we create the Dunkin' Donuts Defense Fund.
Apparently it's all good on this.
I'm glad the police officer didn't do like that old taste test, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's like in, what was
Dumb and Dumber?
Here, it takes a swig of the piss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. This just in.
Oh.
The story, you guys know the story in New Jersey where the letters were coming to the house saying that they were being watched.
This is a story that has been going on for years.
Wait, yeah. I don't know this.
Okay, right. So this Derek and Maria brought us. Bought this house in 2014, and they started receiving these letters saying all these horrible things. Let me see if I can find some of the...
chilling. We're watching you. We basically that they were under surveillance. If they went to anybody, they'd be killed.
Yeah, so it was called the Watchers, what they called themselves. And the writer noted the make of the couple's car and the comings and goings of construction crews and observed that the couple had three young children. He or she wrote, was your old house too small for the growing family, or was it greed to bring me your children?
Oh, yeah.
Once I know their names, I will call them and draw them to.
We talked about these guys, right?
Draw them to me. We've talked about this before, yeah.
Okay.
It's chilling.
The family that owned the house just sold it, and they took a $400,000 loss on it.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah. Who bought it?
That's a good question.
The Watcher.
Yeah.
He did.
I really like the trampoline.
You know what?
Yeah.
So they sold the property at 657 Boulevard in Westfield, New Jersey. They had never moved in.
Do you know who bought it, Preston?
Uh-uh.
Garth Skiffington. The evil Skiffington.
The house, built in 1905, sold on July 1st for about $959,000. The listing on Zillow shows the single-family home is 3,900 square feet, set on nearly half an acre. They bought it for $1.3 million in 2014. Wow, 3,900 square feet and $1.3
million. We're looking at
It's an affluent neighborhood.
It's a nice house. It is crazy. So upper middle class. Right. But it's not a stunner. And but the fact that this whole thing, and no idea where this is coming
That's
from.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
It is. It's the kind of chilling thing that, you know, and how do you, when you sell a house like that, do you have to disclose to the people who are purchasing it that you were receiving this kind of mail at the house? Mm-hmm. I mean, is there a law that would mandate you doing that?
Say you're in the market for the house, a house. Would you buy it at a $400,000 discount?
I don't think I would.
Nah.
I mean, like, that's, you know, that's a good, what, 25, 30% off the list price for a nice house in a great neighborhood.
The only way I would buy it is if I was actually the one sending that letter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're the watcher.
Here's the deal. Mr. Broadus had called the police after he got that letter, and the couple immediately emailed the previous owners, John and Andrea Woods, asking if they had gotten such letters. They lived in the home for 23 years without incident, Ms. Woods said, though they had received one letter from, quote, the Watcher just a few days before they moved out.
Oh, no. All we ever got was freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
The letter was non-threatening and made no claim of any possession of the house, according to the lawyer for the previous owners. 2 weeks later, another note arrived, and the writer noted the workers have been busy. Have they found what is in the walls yet? In time, they will. At first, the Broaduses wondered if the writer was someone who had made a failed bid to buy the house.
Yeah.
But that theory was quickly dismissed. Suspicion then fell on the house next door, where a widow in her 90s lived with several adult children who were in their 60s. The police questioned one of the adult children, but he had denied knowing anything about the letters. Mr. Broadus set up webcams, hired private investigators, including a retired FBI agent, but his team was unable to solve the mystery. So they grew suspicious of other neighbors and began having nightmares. They had sold their own home and were staying with Ms. Broadus's parents nearby, terrified of the notion of moving into the new house. And they were fighting and stressed. They soon decided to sell, but rumors had already begun to fly in the town why they hadn't moved in. Nobody was buying. So they lowered the price and disclosed the information about the letters to prospective buyers.
There you go.
They also filed a lawsuit against the Woodses, the former owners, for not informing them of the letter they received. That was later dismissed. When a local reporter found the complaint and reported on it, the story went viral. News trucks parked outside the home, and the couple was deluged with requests from the media. They ended up signing a deal with Netflix because...
Fuller House?
No, not Fuller House. So this was chronicled in a New York Magazine article last year, and Deadline reported that Netflix purchased the rights to the story in December.
I would do Fuller House, just a variation on it, where it's the same cast, but they keep getting these threatening letters.
Right. And how they
Candace Cameron Bure, we got another goddamn letter.
Yeah.
I know that the house isn't, like, huge or anything like that, but I love it. I love the look of this house.
I have one
house.
Problem. What? There is a slightly weird window. That goes laterally.
Oh yeah, I see that, Steve. That would bother
me crazy.
You.
Yeah,
they're two. They're two vertical. These are rectangles. They're rectangular vertically, and right. Then there's one next to it that's horizontal.
Yeah, it's not.
Now, if that was in the middle,
that would
you'd
work.
Be okay.
That'd
with
be
that.
Fine. Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
off to the left.
And frankly, President, that's why I've been sending letters to this family for some years.
Dear family,
why don't you fix the windows?
They look so stupid.
Call Window Nation for Christ's sake.
They can do the work in a day and a half.
What would you call that style of a home? Is that like a Danish?
No.
No, it's like a...
It's Dutch colonial.
That's Dutch. I'm sorry. Dutch yeah. Mediterranean fusion.
No.
What?
That's your favorite food.
yeah, that is a nice house. But so they sold, they took a $400,000 loss, so maybe... Maybe the Netflix deal will
make up for
the
it.
Cost. Make up for it. I yeah, don't
they,
really
they
know.
Took that loss sense. And they spent all that money on legal fees and hired the FBI yeah. guy or whatever. I mean, that's a lot of money for a house that they never lived in.
My guess is the Netflix deal might cover a lot of that.
I hope
yeah,
so.
Maybe.
It reminds you of movies like, you know, anytime there's any plot line where someone is being
when a stranger
harassed,
calls.
Right? Yeah, exactly, or mm-hmm. something like that. It's. It's the psychological. Nothing ever actually happened. There was no act of aggression. But in many ways, that you could deal with. You could, you know, you set the trap. You arrest someone. This waging a campaign of subtle terror is just life-sucking.
Did you guys ever receive an anonymous letter?
From Publishers Clearinghouse?
Not emails. A letter.
I know.
Yeah.
Have mm-hmm. you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
Here?
No, when I was in middle school. I told you guys about it before.
Oh.
So it was threatening to kill me.
Oh, yeah. Really? It was Kathy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't know you in high school, silly.
No, it was Kathy Romano.
It was a different Kathy, but yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, yes, you did tell us the story. Uh-huh. And the girl was sort
left
of...
them in my locker. I don't want to get... I'm not going to say any names because it's still... but yeah, man, that was freaky. Police were called. The whole thing.
Wait, I don't remember this. They were left. The letters were left in your locker.
In my
she
locker,
was putting it
so
through
the locker,
through the grate,
through
the vent. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to talk about it.
Well,
she didn't like you, I guess.
I guess so. I think a friend of mine had picked on her, and I I laughed when he was doing that.
Oh.
So yeah, which was. Crappy for me. I was an idiot.
I
was dumb, and I did dumb things as a teenager might.
I'm embarrassed
by it. But yeah, so it cut deep in this girl, and she sent me these notes and signed them in blood and stuff.
Didn't want
like
to kill
that.
Him, right? Wanted Ooh. To kill you.
Yeah,
which is weird.
Yeah, but it was. I think maybe she had feelings for me or something like that.
It hurt that much more.
Yeah, so it's not something I'm proud of. But I tell you what, point taken. Freaked me out, dude. Scared. It got me a little tripped out for a while. And yeah,
you could put stuff through those grates.
Yeah,
you could.
Oh, yeah.
I used to easy. People that I liked. I'd put little individual slices of cheese.
Oh
man, that's so sweet.
What a treat.
You were just adorable.
Yeah. You know, Presley. You should, honestly, if we're talking about this, you should talk about the story of the TV dude. And on the show for Bizarre File.
The TV dude. Oh, yeah. It is for the Bizarre File.
All right, we'll leave it for that.
I have that coming up.
Yeah, it's something that pertains to that is in the next Bizarre File.
So they're going to take a bath on the home and lose some money out of it.
You know what? It's funny, though, because, like, you know, the Amityville Horror story was one where the that story was originally reported, and you had the DeFeo family and the murders and all that stuff. And then there was this story of the Amityville Horror and the house. And then it was proven by the newspaper on Long Island that it was a scam, that the family had concocted the ghost story and so on and so forth.
But wait a minute. There had been murders in the house?
There had been murders
in
the house.
Okay, so that was where
they built on that.
You know what?
Right.
Okay.
And then when the Newsday is the newspaper of record, I guess, for Long Island, and they went and did investigations, and there was supposedly this room in the basement. It's depicted in the movie where Indian rituals would take place, and it's the size of half a broom closet. You know, so all these weird things that were reported never panned out. But people have done things like that to give real estate or something a little bit of a little extra story to sell it.
Yeah. I love a good scary story.
Oh, yeah.
Like as told by, you know, a person, not necessarily, you
not
know.
A demon.
And so, but when you mentioned like a stranger calls.
Yes.
I had heard that as a scary story. Obviously the movie had existed. But
the movie even parlayed that story's been around forever.
Okay,
yeah, the whole thing. Yes,
I didn't know that. I had always heard it as a scary story. I'm like, oh my god, that's terrifying. And especially as a little kid, it was, you know, that and Monkey's Paw was another scary one that I really loved.
Right?
Yeah.
There's actually that movie that's out right now, which is the collection of scary stories that's meant.
Guillermo del Toro one?
Yeah, and it's all based on those kind of great legends and stories that you hear as a kid that, you know, drive you crazy.
I finally started reading. I've read a lot of Stephen King, but there's a couple of big ones that are left out of the puzzle pieces of getting to all of his works. But I finally started reading The Shining.
Oh, you never read it?
No, I'm about a third of the way through it right now. It's really good.
How different is it from...
Way different.
That's what I've heard.
Way, way, way different. And much more involved, as you can imagine. Yeah. It's a book, and books are a lot more involved than films. But
the miniseries was apparently a really solid representation of the book, Preston, and I liked Kubrick's movie better.
I love Kubrick's movie.
King does not like Kubrick's
movie. That's what I was going to ask, yeah. And it was because it wasn't faithful, right? That they strayed so much?
Changed a lot.
The problem with that initially is that the story is supposed to be a sort of a, here's a guy who has some issues, but who is sort of finessed into being this lunatic. Jack Nicholson always sort of reads as a little bit of a lunatic.
And
so you're starting, you know, you see, he saw it on TV.
Yeah.
And it's not that much of a shift, you know.
I was watching the movie a couple of weeks ago, too, and that's part of the reason that motivated me to go ahead and pick up the book and start reading it. And Jack just, something about his face.
Yeah.
His face just says crazy.
Yeah.
It really does. His forehead.
Did you see the deep fake where they put Jim Carrey's face on Nicholson
in
that?
Amazing.
It's wild.
Effing crazy.
Yeah. They have similar structure in their face. It fits seamlessly.
They did something that's making the rounds now with Bill Hader, who made an appearance. It might have been on Colbert or whatever, or Letterman. And he's doing Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And Preston, they morph him into Tom Cruise.
I gotta see it.
And it is seamless.
Okay.
And you like rub your eyes. It's like, holy Christ, that's unbelievable.
That and then the Nick Offerman on all the cast of Full House in the opening credits. Yeah. So they put Nick Offerman's face on Uncle Jesse and the baby.
They did it with Mike Tyson, too.
Did they? Okay. Yeah.
The technology is getting out of hand, man.
Well, it really gives you pause for concerning consideration when you see something. Mm-hmm. Vet it before you immediately believe it.
It's the Running Man, dude.
Yeah,
the
Butcher of Bakersfield, man.
Reminds me of the Running Man. Yeah. Yeah. When they swap out the guy that Jesse Ventura is fighting at the end, and and they bitmap him in there. Yeah, we're looking at the video of the Nick Offerman thing. Oh my god! Well, maybe we'll see a movie made out of this Watcher thing. I don't know what exactly they'll do with it without any wrap up to the story. One more thing, you want me to mention?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple of minutes. This just in, in Lawrence, Kansas, they put a payphone in at the library.
Yay!
Yes.
Wow.
We can call out of town.
Executive director of the Lawrence Downtown Library, Brad Allen, said the online response.
Big changes happening at the library. We just got a payphone installed, and we completed work on the Dewey Decimal System.
He said that the response online has been startling.
Oh, it's been incredible. People who have relatives in other states can now talk to them vis-a-vis the phone without having to drive over and speak with them in person.
Well, what's the cost of a phone call now?
It's $100.
I don't know, but while many have jokingly asked when the library will next set up a telegraph station, Allen said that there's still a need for phones in public places.
That's not very funny.
Although Allen also believes that it can be short-sighted to assume that everyone has easy access to a personal smartphone. He said there's a lot of different reasons why you might need a payphone.
Set up a telegraph. That's very funny. Why don't you eat a bag of D's?
The same reason that you might need a printer or a fax machine, your cell phone might be on the fritz or out of minutes. And Allen said the new payphone of the library is the only one left in downtown Lawrence. While the payphone fills a need, the younger generation seems baffled. Ask Ari Martin, an 11-year-old at the library. He said, how do I dial on this?
Yeah.
And while testing out the payphone, Martin and a few others born in this century repeatedly attempted to dial a number on the phone keypad without lifting the handset out of the cradle. So it is funny because I had when we were at Waimea Canyon in Kauai for some reason, they have payphones. Oh, you know why? You can't get cell service out there.
There you go.
Yeah, you can't get cell service once you get out there. They told us about that. And they had payphones.
Disney World used to have payphones. So, like,
well, like they're solar probably, are they not? Are they solar powered phones?
No, okay. I didn't see any solar.
Okay.
They had electricity, but you just can't get a cell signal.
I got you.
Because it's up, the elevation's too
high. Right.
So anyhow, we posted a picture on Instagram of my kids looking at it, being mystified as to what it is that we had stumbled across. And it was pretty funny because we picked it up. And there was no dial tone.
Huh?
So I don't know how the hell you were supposed to make the damn thing
work.
It's
just novelty.
Yeah,
it sprays water in your face.
and that is a good question, Casey.
Yeah.
What would a local phone call cost you, and how long can you talk?
It's usually a quarter, right?
Well, I mean, it used to be back in the day.
Yeah, it used to be a quarter, and then... And for a quarter, you could talk as long as you wanted to, right? Locally?
I thought that was the case, locally. Yeah. And then long distance, obviously, you'd have to keep feeding...
Yeah.
Coins in.
Also, yep. if you happen to have a paperclip on you, you can make free phone calls.
Did you know how to do it?
Yeah. So just below the zero is a tiny little hole.
Yeah.
And you stick a paperclip in that hole, and then the other side of the paperclip into the receiver, like the part that you talk into.
You have to stick it in the operator's hole.
Into one of those holes, and then you dial.
Yeah.
Did you ever do it? Yeah.
Totally worked for me.
Yeah.
I know from War Games, he does that in the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or not in the beginning, but near the beginning of the movie. He uses a little piece of metal to make it work.
I just hope nobody was playing a joke on me because I did something. I told my son that there was this vending machine. And I said, if you hit all the buttons at the same time, you get a free piece of candy. And he's like, nuh-uh. But I had I said, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
But before I told him this, I went and put money in the machine, right? So I go ahead. Go push all the buttons at the same time. And then sure enough, Peanut M&M's came out. He's like, no way. And then he like went and told all his friends.
Oh, my God.
It's a good prank.
That's great.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. If you wear this hat, you can walk across an active highway without getting hit by a car.
No. Did you just make sure that he wasn't looking when you did it?
Oh, yeah. So, yes, absolutely. I knew I was going to do it to him. This was down the shore at the Adventure Hotel, and he was over playing with his friends. I went and did it, and then when he went back and told his friends about it, I went and put more money in the machine, so then they all did it. I was so great.
I told you guys this before.
Cost me $58, but it's worth it.
If you were on the fourth floor, I don't think this still happens in this building, but if you were on the fourth floor in this building years ago and you didn't touch any of the buttons, the elevators would automatically go down to the first floor. So we told this guy, this is back when I worked in the promotions group, we told this guy, Stan, that they were voice activated, so all you had to do was when you get in the elevator, say... floor one. And then the floor, so he would get in the elevator, say floor one, and he would descend to the first floor.
I like it every time. I like it.
You know, it doesn't do that anymore.
No, not anymore.
There's a bizarre configuration with this building because there are certain floors where you can't walk the length of the building on a floor.
I know. Like, I think the fourth floor might be the only one you can.
Is that it?
Fourth and third.
And third? Okay.
I'm pretty sure, but first and second you can't. I don't know about anything above us.
It's bizarre.
I think you're right. Fifth and sixth can't. Yeah, I think it's third and fourth right now. It's really weird.
It's like a big game of Tetris.
Yeah, they're working on rebuilding it. All right, well, anyhow, just thought I'd pass along those stories to you. And yes, this just in. But actually, this is just in. I want to do this now. I want to give away the emoji.
Oh!
Yep, I'm jumping the gun. I'm doing it just a smidge earlier than usual just to throw you off a little bit. So we're going to take caller number, during the commercial break, we'll take caller number 32.
The number of Avengers.
215-263-WMMR. Do you know the emoji code? We'll start with caller number 32 and see if they can get it right. If not, we'll go to 33 and 34 and so on. So give us a call right now. You still have time to go look at it at PrestonandSteve.com. There's a lot up for grabs. If you get this right, a limited edition Avengers Assembled Steelbook, all four Avengers films on digital 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and Blu-ray, and... a $1,000 Best Buy gift card.
Wow.
So 215-263-WMMR, caller number 32. We'll take a break and we will be right back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
Now, 93.3 WMMR. Now. Everything that rocks.
Let's solve the emoji code. We were looking for caller number 32. And all you had to do was go on to PrestonSteve.com, check out the emoji code that Casey came up with, and decipher it, and then be the 32nd caller. Get it right, you win. All right, caller number 32. Guys, this is Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, Jennifer. Do you think you have it figured out?
You should have gone for the head.
And that is correct! Ah! Should have gone for the head. Absolutely correct. A line from Thanos. And Jennifer, since you got that right, we are going to take care of you. We have a limited edition Avengers Assembled Steelbook. All four Avengers films on digital, 4K, Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and Blu-ray. And Jennifer, we have a $1,000 Best Buy gift card for you. How about that?
Oh, that's awesome.
That is great, isn't it?
More excited. Be more excited.
Thank you. I'm going to get so many things with that.
Are you at work?
I know. Yes, I am.
All right. Jennifer, congratulations. And you just hang on the line there. We'll get your information.
Sweetie.
We'll set you up. Isn't that wonderful?
This is wonderful news.
Yes.
I'm so glad to have this $1,000 in these movies. Is it great?
Man, if somebody gave me $1,000.
I know!
Walk outside!
Yeah. $1,000.
$100,000. That's great. Thank you so much.
All right.
Somebody gave me $20.
We've given away some Herculean prizes over the years to like nothing.
I know.
I understand if you're at work, but as Nick says, go outside, run up to the roof.
Right?
Something.
Throw the printer through the window.
$1,000 Best Buy gift card along with that. By the way, the limited edition Avengers Endgame Steelbook is only sold at Best Buy stores and on BestBuy.com. Avengers Endgame is now available on digital and Blu-ray.
It's the highest grossing movie of all time, and I'm thrilled to be receiving a copy of it.
We may have to do that again because
I'm
not satisfied.
I never get those damn emoji codes, ever.
Well, like, I don't get them either.
I got like the first quarter.
Yeah. Can you explain in case?
Yeah, but just to let everybody know that we have two more $1,000 gift cards to give away this week.
Oh,
oh.
That'll be so
that's
cool.
Cool. So be... it's $2,000 to win that.
So tune in on Thursday.
All right.
I've heard people give more raucous confessions in church.
So the emoji code is it's a U, like a female sheep.
Right.
Okay. Okay. A U, and then the shh emoji.
Right.
Followed by OOD.
So right, you should.
And then it's a ha emoji.
All right, well, hang on.
Yeah.
It's not a ha emoji. It's a laughing emoji.
Yes.
All right, and by the way, the shh emoji is a guy's face with a finger held up to it. You need to be a little bit more descriptive.
That was the only part I got.
All right, so anyhow, and then it's got the a laughing emoji, which is ha.
Ha.
And then
followed by something that looks like a V.
Okay.
So that's the have.
Yeah.
And then gone is a go with the, it's a traffic light.
Wow.
Yep.
Go on. So gone. And then four is a golfer.
Great.
And then the is.
You literally spelled out the.
With emojis.
Yep.
And so then
you got to
hey.
Be prepared.
I didn't even see that.
You prepared. Yeah, and I didn't, but I. Okay, so you finished off with the last graphic is of the
it's
head.
It's a person's head, yeah.
Head right. Being massaged.
So you said I was right, though. I translated it to sheep should grin, light and Christian male head crush.
Yeah, I didn't want you to feel bad. That's why I told crush. You were right.
Oh, those are hands on either side of that head.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell what that was. I don't even know what these things are. That's why. You can count me out of them because I can't do it. But you can, and clearly people win from that. Very excited people win.
I've won $1,000.
Congratulations.
From Best Buy.
All right. Bizarre file. I have to do a short one, I believe you said.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Dunkin'. Fuel your day with a freshly brewed iced coffee from Dunkin'. Dunkin' iced coffee is made just for you, any way you like it. So stop by Dunkin' today. America runs on Dunkin'. So residents living in a Virginia neighborhood woke up to find free televisions on their doorsteps. Sounds like a great gift until you see that they're older box sets.
What the f*** is this?
Left at the home. Now, apparently, according to homeowner Jim Brooksbank, he said he's committed to his trade, whoever this is. Doorbell surveillance cameras captured the man who has a TV set that is apparently hollowed out, and he's wearing it over his head.
Oh, my God.
Laying an older set down on someone's front porch and then just walking off.
It looks hilarious.
Now, here's the deal. This bizarre discovery happened Saturday morning in the Hampshire neighborhood of Enrico, and outdated TV boxes were found at more than 50 houses that morning.
So, if it's a prank, it's a really good one.
Yes.
If it's not, it's on the order of getting letters from somebody who wants you to move out of the house.
This guy, the guy with the TV on his head looks awesome.
It's great.
I that might be my Halloween costume, to be honest. It's brilliant. So, according to homeowner Michael Crawley said, I thought my son brought it home, but apparently not. They had way too much time on their hands if they had all these TVs and spread them all over the neighborhood. Police have security camera video from multiple neighbors, but they think it's only a prank targeting no one in particular. Officers and county workers spent Sunday morning trying to pick up the old units and hauling them away. Now, this is the second time that the TV set mystery has played out in Glen Allen. The same thing happened in a different neighborhood last August.
I wonder where these TVs are coming from.
Yeah, it's a good question. You can probably get them pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Or find them, you know, or they just see them, you know, occasionally you'll see one sitting out on the road. People are getting rid of them still.
Or possibly like an old office or an old, you know, school or something.
But this might happen every year.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Quite possible.
This is a story from last week. I didn't get a chance to get into it in the bizarre file. Did you guys see this? A flight attendant was charged with criminal public intoxication on Thursday after passengers aboard a United Express flight raised alarms and one tweeted a video appearing to show her slumped over in her seat. Julianne March from Waukesha, Wisconsin, was charged with misdemeanor. United Airlines earlier confirmed passengers had reported a flight attendant who appeared to be under the influence during the flight from Chicago to South Bend. When the plane landed, officers boarded, and she started crying. And when they asked what city she was in, she said Chicago. So she didn't even know where she was. And when they administered a breathalyzer test, her level was 0.204, five times over the legal limit for flight attendants. Federal Aviation Administration,
I get nervous on planes,
said the limit for all aviation-sensitive positions, pilot, flight attendant, mechanic, for example, is 0.04 for alcohol. She was a probationary flight attendant who had been on the job only a few months and was fired on the terms that she didn't complete the probationary time period.
She wasn't putting her best foot forward.
I guess not. In an interview, passengers said that Aaron Shreb said that when he boarded, he noticed the sole flight attendant on the plane was acting odd. She was leaning against the galley and didn't seem to be making eye contact with passengers while boarding. She seemed a little strange. After everyone boarded and the plane was still at the gate, the flight attendant started to make the security announcement, but her speech was very slurred. And they noticed that she was bumping into several seats and passengers as she walked up and down the aisle to check the overhead bins. After the plane taxied to the runway, she sat down in the jump seat and appeared to pass out for nearly the entire flight.
Oh.
And they have a picture of her just slumped over. While they were in the air, a female passenger noticed the flight attendant didn't have her seat belt and helped strap her in as well. So
you don't really need those things.
That's messed up. I'm sorry to keep it so short this time around, guys, but that's all we have time for. But I still have a lot of great stories, and I will reveal those tomorrow.
All right.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get to Trash Lesson Question, Music News, and we actually have a special guest who is in for Music News to tell musicians who may be listening about how the city of Philadelphia is watching out for you. So we'll come back, and I'll tell you who that is when we return. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Steve 6 on 93.3 WMMR. Did I just... we just mentioned them, right, Marissa? Yeah.
Yeah.
With Wallflowers on the 24th in Hershey. And then the 25th, they're going to be playing at the Keswick. So, and Blessed Union of Souls as well. Interesting.
These shows are good because you get these bands that have a couple of hits. You stack them with a few others, and you have a night of songs that you know.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. We're going to do today's lesson question. And, Nick, did you bring those over here?
Son of a bitch.
That's okay. I'll have you ask it. So we're going to do today's lesson question. We're going to give away a pair of tickets as MMR Rock's Zac Brown Band, Friday, September 6th, BB&T Pavilion. So what question do we pose today,
Nick? Do you want an early one or a later one? I'll let you choose for us.
You know what? Last week I did a lot of early ones. Okay. Do a later one.
All right. So what delightful treat did Steve like to slip into people's lockers when he was in high school?
Okay. 215-263-WMMR. I remember that one. Call now if you know the answer. What delightful treat did Steve used to slip into people's lockers in high school? 215-263-WMMR. You had to be listening in order to know the answer. Call now. Let's see if you can get through and win that prize. While you're calling, we are going to do this. The Hollywood Trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Monster Mania. Monster Mania Con 43, August 16th through the 18th. You can see Freddie himself, Robert Englund, Clive Barker, Ric Flair.
Awesome.
And more. Tickets available at the door. For more information or for more of the gore in store, visit monstermania.net. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Gina Davis admitting in court that she lied to Oprah Winfrey on her show when she professed to being legally married to her ex, Reza Jarrey. Unfortunately for Davis, lying to Oprah is a capital crime and could result in her execution.
Oh my God.
Aaron Carter's girlfriend is now under investigation by the cops for striking him across the face. Carter admits that he did claim to be gay over a year ago, but says he's not very good at it.
Hey!
And finally, Liam Hemsworth saying people don't understand as he discusses his split with Miley Cyrus after just 1 year of marriage. Hemsworth says he tried everything he could, but just couldn't get it annulled any sooner. And that's your Hollywood track.
All righty. Let's see if somebody knows the answer to this question. In high school, Steve would slip what into the locker as a delightful treat for friends? And I will go to Brian for the answer. Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's actually Ryan, but close enough.
All right, Brian, do me a favor. Tell me what Steve would slip into people's lockers.
He was slipping in slices of cheese.
That is correct. Hang on. We'll get your information, Brian. We are going to set you up with a pair of tickets. Like I said, as MMR Rocks, Zac Brown Band on Friday, September 6th, BB&T Pavilion, and some tickets for both of their shows are available September 6th and 7th. And you can go to Ticketmaster.com and get those. So why don't you? Music news time.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! brought to you by Deeds and Watson Real Philly Deli. If you want a real Philly hoagie, you got to go to a real Philly deli. Deeds and Watson created the Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide, your map to the most delicious hoagies in the city. Earn prizes like T-shirts, coolers, food, and even tickets to see the Birds play just for eating real Philly hoagies. Going to have a guest on Music News in just a moment. Let me run through a couple of stories real quick. How about this? Local story. This was just in, apparently, a little while ago. The iconic radio tower signage atop the Tower Theater in Upper Darby has come down, or has to come down, because of public safety concerns.
It's coming down, actually. Steve Keeley's been posting some pictures, you know, from Fox 29.
Yeah.
And so there's close-ups of the tower, Preston. It's rotted, rusty.
Oh.
Yeah. It's in really bad shape.
Mayor Tom McCauzzi, said that Live Nation... The theater's owner has notified the township that work will begin today and last for 2 days. The company's engineers determined the signage atop the 92-year-old building on 69th Street was unsafe after an inspection and needed to come down. So the sphere at the top of the tower and the letters on its sides will be donated to a museum.
It's so iconic.
And they're exploring options for the tower's replacement as well. No for immediate comment from Live Nation. So, yeah, they're going to bring
it. It's the kind of rust where you can just take it and break it off.
No,
that's
kid.
How bad it was, yeah.
Maybe we could put a statue of Gary Lauer up there and call it the Lauer, Theater.
Yeah.
The Lauer
playing
Theater.
At the Lauer.
Yeah.
I like that.
and, you know.
Yeah.
That's the sound you hear when you...
Tonight at the Lauer. Wow. Okay. Let's see what else I have for you. Jack Black and Jack White have joined musical forces in a new behind-the-scenes video. Black and his Tenacious D bandmate Kyle Gass had visited White's record label and studio in Nashville. They posed for photos, took a tour, And they recorded a new single with White's assistance. Now, I haven't heard this yet.
No, I'm interested in hearing it.
And about the collaboration, Jack Black said everyone's been waiting for it, and now it's here. They posted a video online and titled it Jack Gray.
I get it. Emerging,
so,
yeah.
I'm curious as to what that will yield. Should be pretty interesting. Tool band members are known to be meticulous when it comes to their music and are taking a lot of time between albums. In an interview with Revolver guitarist Adam Jones said, I never felt pressure, though. I felt anxiety because they would blame our singer, and it's not his fault. He explained that the band members have families and other projects and interests that have been keeping them busy. Jones said that the album is finished and stated the writing is the same. And that's the thing I really like about it. We really suffer for our art, which you should do. If it's worth having, it's worth suffering for. Of course, the band's last album was released in 2006, and Fear Inoculum will be released on August 30th. One more thing before we welcome our musical guest. A new Chuck Berry documentary titled simply Chuck Berry chronicles the life and career of the father of rock and roll. Rolling Stone posted the trailer to the film, which was directed and produced by John Brewer and premiered. Yes, he used to like to have women fart on him. I know that. And premieres on October 4th at the Nashville Film Festival. He liked to fart on them. That's
yes,
right.
Yes. It was the footage that is just one of the greatest pieces of footage of him with a prostitute. Do we have that audio? Because it's where she...
Of course we do.
Okay. All right. The great Chuck Berry. Yeah.
Are you bathing?
Yes.
Yeah. You gotta get clean.
Yes, I do.
I'll give you something to bathe from. Kiss her. You my girl?
Yes.
You love me?
Yes.
Open your mouth.
Oh, God.
You can smell my fart.
Oh, my God.
That's not funny. That's...
Hold on.
Hail, hail, rock and roll.
Open your...
Yes. Open your mouth. You can smell my fart.
You can smell my fart. Is that what he said?
Yeah. You think
oh,
so?
Oh, my God.
That's a Chuck Berry fart, though. That's rock royalty.
Is that going to be in the documentary?
I think so. I think it would have to be. That segment will probably be introduced by somebody like, I don't know.
Little Richard.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the Little Richard Swamp Bubble thing.
It's one of the best.
I don't know what that would have been under. We spent like an hour talking about that one more.
Womp Bubble Bubble Womp Bap.
No, that's not it. It might be under Wap Bobaloobab, which how I don't know how you spell that. All right, anyway.
This might, is this it? I don't know.
Can we do it live?
Yeah, but you would add the Wap Bobaloobab, Bop,
and then would I do
add,
it?
And then you added that, yeah. All right, you ready?
Wait.
Okay.
Which one do we use?
The one you've been using.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, probably.
All right, you ready?
Yeah. Wap Bobaloobab, Lop Bop. Wait, all right, one more time. There you go. And he's a Little Richard. It's not even Chuck Berry, but it's the spirit of rock.
Is that what it is?
So, Rolling Stone posted the trailer for the film, which is directed and produced by John Brewer, premieres October 4th at the Nashville Film Festival. Among the legends appearing on camera in the film are John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Bo Diddley, Little Richard, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Ron Wood, Gene Simmons.
Keith Richards did a great Chuck Berry.
Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll.
Yep. And there, and if you honestly, besides the farting in the hooker's face, the to see Chuck Berry do what he does, besides that, is pretty amazing.
Steve Van Zandt, Nils Lofgren, Alice Cooper, George Thorogood, Johnny Rivers, Joe Bonamassa.
Love Johnny Rivers.
Nile Rodgers. I mentioned Gene Simmons will be in this as well.
That's right.
Yes. He was...
No chickens were harmed during the making of this film.
Thank God for that. Gene, did you?
I did fart in a chicken's face.
In a chicken's face?
Yes. Mr. Cluckers. Oh, my God. Open your beak.
A boy chicken.
A boy chicken.
Open your beak. Also interviewed are Berry's son and daughter, both longtime bandmates of his, Ingrid Berry and Charles Berry Jr.
Huh.
And for the first time ever, Barry's wife of 68 years.
Dingle.
No, not Dingleberry. Thametta Suggs Barry. And John Brewer said the family members really gave a profound insight into the man behind the music. Also, we talked to his lawyer about the truth behind some of these charges levied against Barry.
Listen, it's not... He's a legend, but there is a checkered past
with
cameras and bathrooms and things of that nature. And that's, you know, you take the person warts and all, farts and all.
Yeah, I remember we had the Geeter in here, and he was telling us how he was like, I'm not playing till you got to go get me some girls.
Yeah.
And he was very adamant about that.
So, right.
Yeah.
So family members, but no mention of Marvin Berry.
No, Marvin Berry. You know what? He has sadly been left in the dust.
Yeah.
And
overlooked for so many years.
No mention of Marvin Berry and the Starlighters, unfortunately.
Huh. Peaked in 55.
Yeah.
A lot of people are pointing out, Preston, that's how the hooker got pink eye.
Shut up.
Wow. Kind of makes you wonder what you were up to with it.
Well, you know what? I'd wear it proudly if it came from the father of rock and roll.
Hail, hail.
All right, and on to our guest. We got to follow that up.
Why he's even still here, we don't know.
Yeah. We're going to welcome, and I'll explain why he's here. We're welcoming Grammy-nominated engineer, producer, Recording Academy National Trustee, Director of Sound Recording and Music Technology at Montgomery County Community College as well. Our friend, Mr. David Ivory. Yay! Nice to see you, David.
Nice to see you, Preston. Thank you so much.
You bet. David is a longtime member of the musical community here in Philadelphia and in the greater Philadelphia area, and is a part of, and the reason he came in is because there's a press conference coming out on Thursday about the Music Industry Task Force here in Philadelphia. And so this speaks to local musicians.
Yes, yeah, very important. This is the thriving community here.
And I know, David, that one of the missions of the task force is really put Philadelphia more prominently on the map as a music city, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, there are, you know, towns in the country that have been synonymous with the music industry. And you had mentioned Nashville when we were talking off air, Nashville and
Seattle.
And Seattle and of course, Los Angeles and New York, too. But we have such great talent here, and you guys are going to help foster that. What's some of the information you wanted to share about the task force and what you guys are doing to help out?
Well, the beauty of it is City Council put us together, to put this task force together along with the leadership of Councilman O.
So their heart's in it.
So not only in it, like, you know, I don't know if you realize we have an entertainment tax in the city, and from 2016 to 2017 it got $20 million.
Right.
So we want to try to reinvest some of that into the community, which is important.
That's cool. So the idea is to start rebranding and position this city and start to get this city some of the recognition
that it deserves.
Exactly. Rightfully so.
You go into Nashville, right, and you go to Nashville Airport. You instantly are hit with Nashville music. There's musicians all over the place playing in the airport. You come into Philadelphia, you see our films, but you don't see any of our music
right.
or hear any of our music. And that to us creates the culture instantly as soon as you walk in. Wow, I'm in Philly. I hear the music. I see the sounds. And it's like, to us, that's one of the recommendations that we want to do along with eight others.
I love that. Because for so long, there's so many times we've done things or talked about artists and then you learn about their Philly connection. Oh, really? Oh, really? And it's like even to people, natives of Philadelphia are unaware of the
absolutely
rich history. So this is a great thing.
I was talking about it earlier. It's like off air. You know, I'm in L.A. a lot with the Grammys and all that. And as soon as I say I'm from Philly, instantly, wow, you're from Philly. I love the music there. And it's like it's more from the outside than what we have as far as what we develop. So that was one of the big things of this, to try to like build awareness for our Philadelphia community. We're like so rich and steeped. Like, look at this station, 50 years. Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's
like, you know, that's, and stations like this, you know, are fallen by the wayside. So we still have this kind of community and we want to foster it and put some money into it and make it a concerted effort to do that.
And with that, honestly, comes it draws other musicians.
Of course.
And I think that's what happened with Nashville, because Nashville had a peak and then. Things sort of hit a lull, and then it started to turn around again, and now they're on a big high. And with that comes tourism dollars and other things that can benefit everybody.
Absolutely.
I think it's a win-win.
It is a win-win. And, you know, it's a shame when people, a lot of musicians, even the ones I've worked with that really have gone far, even from, like, different groups, they leave. They leave Philadelphia and they go to another market. Why? You know, there should be no reason for that.
No, right. Agreed. Especially since we have so many great, we're just at the Tower and all the great I'll put this city up on, and you know, on a level with any other city with venues and places for musicians to get their stuff.
Especially now. There's been a nice resurgence of venues here in the city.
And it would be great to take advantage of that, right?
Yeah.
So you guys want to start marketing Philadelphia as a music city. You want to put in the local transportation hubs, make sure that there's more representation.
Absolutely.
Of the music of Philadelphia.
And not only that, like, you know, we went with city council and some of the people from the environment, and they want to pull down handbills, right?
Right.
Which I get it, because some of them are so old, even from last year even. So we decided, well, why don't we set up kiosks that are managed by captains, like in the area, like in Fishtown and Northern Liberties, that are a definite area that you know that if I go to this street, I'll see a kiosk of all the new things that are happening this month. That's much better than random telephone poles all over the place.
I agree. And, you know, there is a certain charm in the world of rock and bands and up and coming bands to that look. If you can manage a little bit more and make it, you know, less, you know,
dirty and litter.
I think there's a happy medium.
Yeah. And I think it'll be more up to date, and then you'll have a specific spot. Hey, what's happening? Well, it's right here, and it's in the central location in those districts where the venues are.
Love it.
And then there's another thing that I recently encountered myself. I play in a band and we had a gig, and I have a drum kit that I have to unload, and I pull up next to the venue. There's not one parking spot anywhere. There's not a loading zone anywhere. Yep. And I'm like, dude, I'm gonna have to park like two blocks down, and like piece by piece going back and forth doing 100 different trips.
Right.
It's going to take me forever to get all this crap in there. And so one of the things you guys want to do is establish a loading and unloading zone for working musicians.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Something I never really thought about.
Yeah, and they're typically there. In fact, we worked with the parking authority, and we have a pilot program already established. We have our own music industry task force logo. They're going to create these no parking, sort of like when you have a parade and they say no parking between whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have that established. So in front of the Grape Room, in front of some of these other spots where it's really hard to get the musicians. Like, musicians load in and they get a $75 ticket before they even start the show.
They're blowing their pay for the night.
If they even get that. And it's so simple. It's not that dramatic to do these kind of things, you know?
I love this all the way around. It sounds really cool.
You guys also want to try to get all ages locations for people to come out and experience.
Think about it. Social media right now. Everybody's, you know, who are you, of a new band, who are you appealing to? 21 and over, but more so 18, 21 and under, right? So, but they can never see you. So if we can get some of these venues to be able to embrace underage attendance, it's going to help the bands, because they'll be able to reach their audience like live instead of just through Instagram or just through Facebook posts
or YouTube. Because I was watching, was it the Kids' Choice Awards or whatever, and they reel off three or four YouTube stars that I don't think have ever really played a lot. Just on their videos. There's no venue for them to go play.
Exactly.
So, David, you guys are having a press conference on Thursday at City Hall. And what do you want people to know? Do you need people to help out?
I would love them to come and support, to be honest with you. The more people in there, the better. Because you know what? This is the city council's eyes.
Yeah.
So if we're there at 10 a.m., and you got to get there a little early, because getting into City Hall, if you've ever done that before, is a bit of a challenge.
So it takes
a little bit of time to get in. Mm-hmm. But once you're there, I mean, to show support, and then hopefully we're going to present we'll put out the industry task force report, which I gave you guys, which will be made public on Thursday. And then hopefully City Council will see the importance, see what you guys see right now from this discussion, and hopefully we'll get some action. We'll have some hearings, and hopefully they'll adopt some or all of these proposals.
So anything related to the music industry or venues or musicians or anybody who's...
all of this is about
all this is about promoting the business of music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really about the, and it's all going to trickle out because, you know, if you make it better, like I know bands that won't play in the city because of the parking. How ridiculous is that?
Right.
You know what I mean? They'll skip it. And things like that are what's so important, and that'll help everybody. And, and again, even promoting the fact that music isn't free. Like, you know, we have to start paying our musicians. We have to. Like, we can't just assume that everything's for free. And, you know, you're a playing musician. You understand that. And it's especially original musicians. So we just got to – I think the more we build the awareness, the more people understand that this is a business and it helps our economy in many levels.
Yeah.
The better we're going to be. That's
yep.
Cool.
All right. So Thursday, 10
a.m. City Hall, and try to be everyone be there, or and we'll be posting on Instagram and that kind of thing.
Where in City Hall should they go?
Mayor's reception room.
Mayor's right reception room.
Mayor's main spot. Mayor's reception room.
All right. So local music fans, musicians, anybody who wants to continue to see Philadelphia thrive in that aspect, please come out and show your support. It'd be cool. So.
I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, David. It's good to see you.
Likewise,
David Ivory, guys. He's the head of the Philadelphia music industry task force. I'm glad that that there are some people looking out for the local musicians. We'll be back in just a second. Stay with us. We'll get the first letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize when we get back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3.
When MMR's Jackson broadcasts live backstage, it's for the likes of Metallica, Guns N' Roses, and MMRBQ.
So true, Jackson.
Once a year, he goes from backstage to the backyard. Enter now for Jackson to bring the party to your place Friday, August 30th. Enjoy your 4 hours of fame as Jackson broadcasts live. And he'll probably use your bathroom. Hatfield Meats fully supplies the grill. The MM Army stocks the fridge with cold brews and brings the music to prime your weekend. Go to WMMR.com and tell us why your backyard rocks. Include a photo so we know what we're getting into. Jackson's Backyard Broadcast.
Presented by Hatfield Meats. Look for their bold new bacon packaging. Simply Hatfield.
And 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Called Social Cues. KG Elevan on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. 10:42. We're wrapping up the program today. And hopefully, you're going to pay attention to the letters that we give to you because we will have a Word of the Week prize we're going to give away at the end of the week. But before I get to all of that, today is Tuesday. We've been having you text in the word tattoo, and it's time to find out who the winner is of a Preston and Steve tattoo, courtesy of our friends at world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. It is Sean Smith of Carney's Port, New Jersey.
I had a feeling.
So Sean gets a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo and Tattoos Day on the Preston and Steve Show, presented by world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's at 621 South 4th Street in South Philly. Sorry. Get tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like Kyle Fitzpatrick. You can see his work on Instagram at Kyle_Fitzpatrick_ or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com.
So, Kyle, I am a huge fan of his. In fact, I was going to try and get tattooed by him this weekend at the Wildwood Tattoo Convention.
Really?
Yeah. So I have a couple of ideas in my mind, and there are a couple of artists that that I have in mind doing work. Kyle does really, really, I think, solid line work. And so I have something that I want him to do. I was so trying to get there this weekend, but I just couldn't. I was just so busy.
Where would this new tattoo go?
Actually, right under my watch. It would actually kind of be hidden most of the time, but it would go underneath my watch band. There would be something on the top of my wrist and then something on the bottom of my wrist.
Would you ever tattoo the image of a watch on your wrist?
Thought about it.
Yeah.
I really did. I really did think about it. It would be just dumb enough for me.
Not going to reveal what your tattoo idea is here? Or
no, I mean, it, you know.
Okay.
In due time, dear Kristen.
Can you? I feel like you should pick another spot. Those tattoos that go on the finger and the wrists by like a few years in look terrible.
Yeah. You think like the faux
like
rings?
Look like yeah, like they always end up like kind of bleeding and look like they're
what
smeared.
What about my neck? What about like the front of my neck?
Man, there's this girl on Facebook who got her face tattooed. She is this beautiful. She is beautiful. And I don't know what the hell it says. I think it says her name underneath one eye.
Mm. Oh, she can't even see it.
Yeah.
And then when she sees it, it's backwards.
Yep.
Yes.
I don't get that.
No, the face tattoo thing?
No.
Nope. Don't understand, but whatever. Thank you to David Ivory, our lone guest today. David is out there. He's trying to get all we can going for this town in the world of music. And so there is a task force. They have a music task force here in Philadelphia, and they have a press conference on Thursday, if you can. If you're into local music or a music fan, you should go out and support that. It's at 10 a.m. So thanks to David for being here this morning. David's a... like he produced and engineered for Patti LaBelle, and in fact he had played me a clip of Lizzie Hale singing years before the band surfaced.
Oh, no kidding!
Yeah, I was there.
He's really good.
I was there recording, doing some voiceover stuff, and he's like, "I want you to hear this girl sing," and I was like, "Damn, man!" And it wasn't until a few years later I'm like, "Oh, that's who he turned me on to." So,
Mr. King, do you know the read on that? It's that's the latest music. Now let's get on with the latest. These are the best tasting morsels you've ever had. You can just eat that morsels again.
Add
the word little in right before morsels.
Well, what am I talking about?
I think you remember you were talking about the need to eat pizza. If you could just.
And thus my career began. Pierre Robert is in attendance. Hey, man, how you doing?
Hi there. We've all got so many of those moments. Sadly, on this program, God bless each and every one of you, any utterance that comes out slightly altered, and every human that's been on the, you know, in the media, on the radio, on TV, make funny noises and have things happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And most just barrel ahead.
No.
And go ahead. But you guys freeze painfully for the victim, humorously for the rest of the humanity, because all humor is at someone else's expense,
yeah.
Which is why so many people laugh at me on a regular basis, just at my very predicament. But the fact that any slight utterance... Are there any Kathys, by the way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No,
we all have them.
But, I mean, she's got statements, you know. She's got statements. Well, but does she have any, like, flubbles?
Yeah, they're flubbles.
Oh, yeah. I just think maybe sometimes they don't grab them.
Well, the best is the fart reaction, though. We played a little clip of that earlier. This is, and for those who don't know, this that's Kathy screaming.
I should just go with no, I'm perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Ew.
I like that.
It's a lot of that.
I like that. I like that, my dear. Mm.
Wait, what is, hang on, what is 64 loads?
Well, let's find out.
What is this? Hang on, you ready?
64 loads, $8.99.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's
no,
not
no,
that
no.
Great.
How about this?
I jig on it.
That's a good one.
Ballcock.
She was trying to say ballcock. Gigantic.
That's been altered, though, right?
No.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
He played it twice.
He played, yeah.
I jig on it.
Wow.
Oh, wait, here's one.
So, okay.
Remember, there was also another woman who bit a woman's finger off.
I wouldn't have even heard that if you hadn't frozen it.
Well, that's
it
where
was,
we
did
is that where we got Manthe from? Because you slowed it down.
Bit it a woman's finger. Remember, there was also another woman who bit a woman's finger off,
and that's where we got Manthe from. I think.
Wow.
All right.
I'm just enjoying a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
a cup.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, mine makes your... Mine is the desert. I have from here to the shore.
We're all on the ship, man.
Yeah.
We're sailing.
What used to happen, our old one of our producers, Rick, from years ago, would just immediately go, I suck!
Yeah.
Did he really say
that? Yeah.
Anytime he would flub.
Self-flagellation. There's nothing quite like it.
Yep. So shall we do our letter?
Yes.
Then we'll find out what you got going on. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
P, as in pernicious, a word that I heard Preston use during his massage read today. Yeah. And I'm going, holy S, what a cool word.
Oh.
And like Jackie Bam Bam goes, did you hear the word he said? Did you hear that word he said? And I'm thinking just like Jackie thinks because I'm going... you guys have, you're all intelligent, every one of you, and you speak with great vocabularies. But then in the midst of the commercial for the hand in stone massage thing, you pull out pernicious.
Pernicious.
And I'm going, that was brilliant.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I relish the compliment.
Yo, relish.
By the way, we are going to give away an indoor-outdoor folding tournament ping pong table by Corneo. Including a cover and outdoor playing set courtesy of Royal Billiards and Recreation. Steve has this very model.
I can speak to how wonderful it is. You could leave this sucker out in the snow if you wanted to, yep. But it is, it's a great ping pong table. I love it.
Make sure you're ready for kickoff and the season ahead. Royal Billiard and Recreation has everything that you need to make your place at the place to watch the game. So Royal Billiard and Recreation, your ultimate game room store, selling fun for over 30 years. Visit royalbilliard.com. What's up on today's show, sir?
I love the sound of ping pong.
It is.
Yeah. That unique sound that's so unique just to that that game. So on the program, we will have tickets for Alice Cooper and Hailstorm and Motionless in White. I'm sorry. I started that. I'm sorry. That wasn't me, but there's a number of me's, but we'll do that another time. Tickets for Alice Cooper and Hailstorm and Motionless in White. Winning these tickets qualifies you for a very cool meet and greet with the great one himself, Alice Cooper.
Wow.
And Jackie's going to broadcast from that show on Friday, by the way. Also, we just discovered we'll have tickets for Lenny Kravitz coming to the Met later this month. And cool workforce blocks. We're going to, on Friday, start a giant retrospective on Woodstock on the 50th anniversary of its weekend. I think Saturday was the beginning day of Woodstock. But today I'll play the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who played Woodstock 94 and 99, both of which I was at and had coverage of, which were interesting. And we will do a block of Aerosmith, also at Woodstock 94. And I have a piece talking. They sent me up on KYW TV. We were in with KYW, and they sent me up to cover that. And it was really bizarre.
Pandemonium, right?
Well, the festival was great. I mean, the Woodstock 94 festival was actually held on a farm. The 99 was held on an old Air Force base. It doesn't quite speak Woodstock. But 94 was great fun. But KYW TV, we were in the same building with them. And they said, all right, we'll send a reporter up to Woodstock. And one of the line producers, this great guy named Scott Dillick, goes, well, Pierre's going. Why don't we just have him? They go, are you kidding? But then they somehow came to think that might work. And so there I am up on the platform with the rest of the real reporters going, this is the greatest time ever. And it was so fun because, and actually today's the second day anniversary of the 94 concert in Saugerties. They had these generic reporters. So if Oklahoma, for example, didn't have the ability to send a reporter, there was these guys and girls in
Pool
Banana
reporters,
Republic.
They call them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had the total Banana Republic outfit on and, you know, but each, both the guy and the gal, I would watch them. And it's a line of reporters going, all right, Houston, stand by. Dallas, you're coming up. Phoenix after that. Philly, you're after that. And you get like 2 minutes and you step into the camera shot with the field of people behind you, and then you have 5 minutes to do your thing with your local station. If a station didn't have someone, Joe or Jill Generic Woodstock would step in, and they'd go, disaster, we'll strike any moment now, Tom. Is that the guy's name back at Oklahoma? Tom, yes, it'll strike any moment. Woodstock, mud, death, drugs, destruction. And then I get on with the folks at Channel 3, and I go, this is the greatest time ever, man. It's raining, and it's muddy, and people are friendly. I actually, this will shock you, I dropped my wallet and, of course, was oblivious to it. And I'm walking through, through a pile of people, and this guy comes running after me and taps me on the shoulder and goes, dude, you left your wallet, you dropped your wallet. I go, God bless you, lad. I found the people at Woodstock 94 who got the concession for the pizza stand, and they didn't even know how to make pizza. They were from Cherry Hill, and they applied to Woodstock back in the early winter and said, we want to have Philly water ice. We go, we don't need Philly water ice. We need someone who makes pizza. Oh, we make pizza. And they made pizza. They got the concession for the whole thing.
And so didn't know how to make pizza.
Nah, no idea.
Yeah. Pizza tastes like water ice.
Wow.
Anyway, so lots of fun with Woodstock as we approach, as we are in one anniversary now, and the big one's coming up this weekend.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you, Pierre. And I want to thank our sponsors, President and Steve Show, brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Also, Armor Metals and Recycling for all your metal and computer recycling needs. Plus, Wilmington University. Experience a WilmU difference by visiting wilmu.edu. Tomorrow on a program, Fox Good Day. It's a Wednesday thing that we do.
Yeah.
And also in our studio from NBC 10, we'll have Crystal Kly spending some time with us. So those things and more, that is it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day. And don't forget, Belly Flop Championship Thursday, Valley Forge Casino Resort. Free of charge, 21 and over. Doors open at 5. And the event starts at 6. We will see you there. Be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.